about.
It's Valentine's Day. It's not the day you run away from love. It's the day you track it down, tie it up, and take it home.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Will you be my Valentine?
I just realized I'm gay.
Valentine's Day, Valentine's Day, Valentine's Day. Masturbation is gonna happen.
Cupids and hearts really shoving our faces in it this year.
It's okay. I really don't care about Valentine's.
But you're a lady, right? Why haven't I seen pictures of you as a baby?
I look around and I see all these beautiful people who are alone on Valentine's, and I think that there are other single people out there too. We just need to find them.
Valentine's Day, Valentine's Day, Valentine's Day. Masturbation happens.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
We doing this? Let's do this.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Let's all be more like Dave.
Roll another one.
He quite realistically could never amount to
just
anything.
Just like the other one.
Got it. Boring mumbo jumbo.
This one seems to be about to quit.
I love doing drugs.
Another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Make love to me now.
Roll.
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 Another one.
Why? Have you ever? Why?
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about.
You can go to hell. Why don't you kill yourself?
I don't have another cent.
We have no idea where that unexpected outburst came from.
But the fuck are they doing?
It was like being imprisoned.
Just pass it around.
Thanks for that information. How about a little radio silence?
And now.
Want to do something special for your woman on Valentine's Day? Examine yourself for testicular cancer. Why give a diamond when you can give the family jewels? CBS cares.
Our feature presentation.
Somehow I think that would be unsatisfying for the woman.
I just don't think she's going to buy. No, no, I wasn't doing what you thought I was doing. I was just examining myself for testicular cancer.
Right. It's my gift to you for Valentine's Day.
Right. Yeah,
I like it.
All right, baby.
Hey, CBS cares, you guys.
CBS does care.
CBS cares.
An all-new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday morning, and it's the 14th of February.
I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday who is a newlywed, so apparently Valentine's Day is still a thing for them.
Sure.
And he was thinking that he was going to be smart, if this would fly with his wife, he was going to be smart and not deal with going out to dinner tonight. So his plan was he was going to go last night. He thought, perfect. You know, you go to the nice restaurant and
right.
It's not going to be crazy crowded and it's you know, less pressure and more fun. And why not? Last night, also booked up completely, 100%.
Really? Other people doing the same thing?
He thinks that maybe that's a thing, is that Valentine's Day has gotten so crowded at some places that people are spreading around the whole week. And so he was thwarted for the idea of the place he wanted to go to for the same reason, because he was going to try.
That's why I celebrate a random day in March.
See?
Well done.
That's how you do it.
Nothing wrong with that. Very smart. It is Valentine's Day. It is Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Here's an interesting story, Kevin, that I think will appeal to you because it involves the World Cup.
All right.
Which is in Brazil. Now, when is that? Is that this spring?
It's this June to July. June 10 to July 13 or something like that.
Here's a young man named Andrew, no last name given in the article, who is he's got a Kickstarter campaign going. He is making a movie called The Magic Thumb, and it's not what you're hoping it is, Lisa.
Aww.
I've seen that too many times.
The Magic Thumb.
I mean, here at work with Ralph.
I'm not talking about it.
His film is about him hitchhiking from England to Brazil to go to the World Cup.
Okay.
That's The Magic Thumb. That's what he's referencing. he is hitchhiking. He's leaving in March. I think he's leaving around March 10th or something like that. He is going to go all the way. Let's see. Let me see his route here because I got a map. He is going to go basically, he's going to go east through Europe.
Okay.
And then all the way across Russia and China, I guess. And then he's going to cross over into Alaska and then go down through Canada and down the western United States, all the way through Latin America, and then all the way down South America. I guess Rio de Janeiro is on the east coast of southern Brazil.
Right.
So it's, once you get into South America, you still got a long ways to go. And he's going to hitchhike the whole way, and the Kickstarter is to raise money to help him live as need be, but more importantly, to be able to, you know, professionally film and make a movie about this. It's 37,000 kilometers, by the way, which I'm no expert in the metric system. I think that's about 50 miles. 37,000 kilometers. I joke. It's more than 50 miles, you guys. It's about 22,000 miles.
Don't you look at that plan and go all the way across Russia? Mm-hmm. And did you say China?
Yes.
I don't know. Like, then I look for another route. Because Russia is barren and cold and huge.
Long distance, a hell of a long distance even between people. And if your goal is to hitchhike, it seems like you could be dropped off someplace where now you're not going to see a human for another 100 miles.
And maybe hitchhiking isn't a deal there. I don't know. Do they know what the thumb is?
I think this is going to be interesting for him. You know, we did a phone topic a number of years ago. Remember, I was on the island and I saw a very attractive young woman hitchhiking on the island. And as much as I desperately wanted to pick her up, because obviously I already have, you know, duct tape and chloroform in the trunk anyway, I didn't, because I thought there's no upside. There's an upside for her to get a ride. There's no upside for me to be picking up somebody hitchhiking. No possible upside.
Right.
So I didn't. And then we did a phone-in topic where people called in who are still hitchhiking. We got stories about if that's still a thing and if people still doing it. Apparently in some places, for some people it is. But this is quite a hitchhike. This is 18 countries, 4 continents, and his plan is to arrive in Brazil on time for World Cup 2014.
Oh, it's going to be so great when he's so close and he just can't make it.
Can't get that last ride.
To Brazil.
Yep. So maybe that's not how you'd choose to go to the World Cup, Kevin, but maybe you'll run into the magic thumb while you're there.
I hope not.
Pick that thumb up if you see it.
Got to tell you right now, I hope I'm not running into
him. Do pick him up if you run into him. If you see a little guy walking along the side of the street with a camera crew, give him a ride.
I'll pull over. And then just before he gets to me, you speed up.
Oh, of course.
Exactly.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I agree with my lover.
All right, good. We have the movie beat because it's Friday. Ralph will tell you about the new movies in the theaters. Mm-hmm. We have Ralph's going to be on vacation next week. He's going to audition all of us to do voice work. As Ralph does Ralph does 99% of our voices. So
that's a terrible idea.
He's going to be shooting a movie next week, so he's going to audition us. You being me, Lisa.
Oh, dear God.
Probably Dave. I don't know. I don't know who, but.
We're terrible at voices.
Agreed. I'm not saying we're doing this because we're good at it.
Okay.
I'm saying
he just wants us to miss him while he's gone.
I think that's what it is. Appreciate me.
We are also going to talk about Jamzilla.
Yes, good.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
I rented it last weekend, and it was really good.
I hope that's not what you're talking about. Hey, Muggs, you had a little early preview of Jamzilla this morning. What can you tell us about that? That might help other listeners on their way out.
Yeah, they were prepping everybody. They closed 3 lanes on the 405. But it was going south, which was weird, because they're shutting
Jamzilla
down the north.
Is north.
Yeah. But I don't know.
And they're not shutting it down. They're only closing down the lanes.
Overnight, they're completely shutting down the northbound side.
I got you.
And then during the day, you'll have a lane or
Look,
two.
Look, all we know is it's got a cool name.
That's true.
We like Jamzilla.
They change the name every time.
I love that. I do, too.
When they have done this previously
is Jamageddon, isn't it?
No. That'd be good, though.
Oh, there was Carmageddon and Carmageddon, Jamzilla. Right. You're right.
When they have done this for the Carmageddon in the past and the Carmageddon 2, the sequel, did you guys notice any difference in the highway once they opened it back up?
Yeah, they're making really slow progress. I mean, they've been working on the 405 now.
Since the 50s, right?
Since before I was born. And it doesn't make any sense why it's taken so long. But do we think this is it then? Because I don't think they're anywhere near that.
I think this is the last big chunk. But yeah, last time they did it, they opened up off ramps that had been closed for months and months and months. And
okay,
they had,
well, that at least is some progress you can see.
They rebuilt bridges. So yeah, we're definitely seeing the progress.
Bean, if you and I were to be handed this project, we would be making the same advancements, I think.
Yes.
I think we'd be right on pace for what's going on. And we have UFC fighter Ronda Rousey.
Oh, yeah.
In the studio as well.
Cool.
So that's coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
Got an all-new Valentine's Day edition of Bean's Death Corner coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, our own Magic Thumb, Ralph Garman, joins us for the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday. Hey, Ralph.
Please don't do that. I'm begging you.
We don't ever want to see that, Ralph. Seriously, put that away.
I'm begging you.
Don't stop.
You love it. You love it. You want it. You want the thumb.
Don't. Pretty sure I don't.
Put on those thigh highs.
Nope.
Well,
I sense that
corset,
the
corset, panty, whatever you got in the closet there, and
boom. I sense that the thumb has sent so many women into shock, and then into therapy,
into seizures of pleasure. You mean? Well, then yes, that'd be correct. To unimaginable bliss.
That does seem unlikely.
Then you got that going for you. Yes,
I'm guessing
that's
no
what
on
you're
that.
Saying. Ah, come on now, with everybody dying. Can we just put a moratorium on dying for a while?
I agree.
We're doing Bean's Death Corner next. What are you talking about?
We got death. Too much death. Let's stop dying for a while.
Now who died?
Well, first, Shirley Temple Black, who is just America's sweetheart, except for Kevin, who hated her, and she's gone. And then Sid Caesar, another genius, one of the original creators, if you will, of sketch comedy on television, passed away. And now another one of our favorite TV dads is gone, Mr. Ralph Waite, who played the dad on the Waltons for many years in the 70s.
That's sad.
He was a great TV dad. He was one of those dads you watch and said, "Aw,
I know.
I wish everybody's dad was like that. He was compassionate and caring and nice, but strict and firm and taught you a lesson about life out there
also
in the mill making wood.
And awfully fertile, too.
Yeah, a lot of kids. Good night, John Boy. Good night, Mary Ellen. Good night, Elizabeth. Good night,
whichever one you are.
I can't remember who you are because I got too many kids.
That's a little one.
And it's the Depression. What the hell were we thinking?
Good night. I know, but his wife was kind of hot, too.
Yeah. Michael Learned, she was hot. He was a very prolific character actor. Did a ton of movies in the 70s, then got this very popular series that ran for many years. And then recently, he was on NCIS, and he had a recurring role on Bones and Days of Our Lives. I mean, the guy never stopped working. Passed away at the age of 85. So.
He's not the one. I didn't see any obituaries on him yesterday, Ron.
What?
He's not the one who then went off and was in politics for a while. Did he run for Congress or something?
Yeah, he did.
I thought that he might be the guy,
Yeah, and he started his life as a Presbyterian minister.
No kidding.
Huh. Got into acting late. Didn't start acting until he was in his 30s.
Wow.
But had a very
Kevin, your thoughts on the Waltons, please?
I can't believe we're still talking about it.
You
a,
did see
and
the
B,
Waltons.
I don't think
no,
I ever saw the
never
Waltons.
Saw them. Cause I'm
ever?
Busy.
I don't think so.
Throwing and burning.
But
the
Ralph,
Waltons was a great show.
A great show.
Has it occurred to any of you that all of these people are 85 and above? Of course
he was
they're
85.
Going to die.
Well, yeah, but
so
that
you can't
make it
go, oh, when will death stop? They're all from the 30s and 40s. Of course they're dying.
Or the 70s and 80s, but at what point are we? At what age are we supposed to no longer care if someone dies?
Right. Well, give us the age. Care. I'm saying perhaps a mention. Do we need a 5-minute diatribe? No. What's happening?
These people have done enormous things. They've had accomplished careers.
And this is the forum to recap every little one.
I don't think 5 minutes. By the way, it was 1 minute. Is like is asking too much for an acknowledgement.
And he was still acting something. Until recently.
He was
Father
on
the
a recurring
Waltons
role on Bones.
Has
is Bones
away.
A recent enough show for you to talk about?
In
Bones.
Other news.
NCIS, one of the most popular shows on television.
In other showbiz news.
So you hate the dad of the Waltons now,
nope,
too?
Don't hate him at all. Just think a little perspective.
You're glad he's dead.
So you'd rather talk about the goddamn Kardashians who do nothing rather than somebody who actually achieved something?
Yes. If it's the dad on the Waltons, yes, I would.
Because you're not interested.
That's correct.
Why does Kevin hate
everything?
It is, of course, Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day, Ralph,
oh,
please.
Sorry, my bad. Thinking about getting a movie on Netflix and watching it with your significant other under the covers? Well, here are the top 10 romantic movies of all time, according to Red Book magazine. You have any guesses before we
burn the notebook? Balloons?
Lisa says with her both hands up.
Yeah, like she scored a touchdown. This is of all time, Lisa. Notebook, I think, although a very romantic film, obviously. Not on the list.
Oh. Casablanca.
Casablanca is number two, being very, ooh, very close.
What's the one where the couple
that would have been my pick?
Meets.
Oh, that couple that they meet, those other couples,
top
those
of
people.
The...
Oh, at a fair to remember.
Another touchdown?
Yes,
please have another touchdown.
She's scored
you mean when Harry met Sal? No, what? You mean.
At a fair to remember is what she means.
No, but she means the modern one, right? She means Sleepless in Seattle?
I meant the original, since this is of all time.
Oh, okay. No.
The modern one.
In that case, no.
No Sleepless in Seattle, no When Harry Met Sally?
Harry Met Sally's on there, yeah.
All right. Okay.
Come on.
12 Years a Slave?
Oh, you're just not thinking.
Two Girls, One Cup?
You're not thinking. Pretty Woman was 10th on the list.
Oh, sure. The hooker movie.
Yeah,
who hasn't thought about falling in love with a hooker?
Right into my brain.
Right.
Yeah, being a hooker and finding a good man and getting
Let's watch that for Valentine's
Day. Out of the hooking.
Okay.
Ghost, of course, Ghost. What's more romantic than having your loved one die and having a penny go up a wall?
And now he's really dead, so there's that.
Nice, Lisa.
Wow. I'm just saying.
Lisa, we can't talk about dead celebrities anymore around Kevin.
Okay.
He gets very upset.
Not the whole showbiz. Okay.
The whole
show. Oh!
We're not allowed. You can't say the F word, Ralph.
I just did.
Yeah, right.
That's true, you did.
I don't think I'm on the radio.
I don't think you understand what the word can't means.
We're discouraged from using that language on the radio.
All right, that I'll give you.
Okay.
Say anything.
Sure.
Great movie.
It is a great film. When
Harry
Met Sally, as I mentioned.
Say anything.
I mean that as well, obviously. Right. The Way We Were. That's a classic romantic film.
Okay.
Robert Redford, Barbara Streisand. Love Story, of course. What would list about love stories be without Love Story? Dr. Zhivago. The classic film with a stunning... Bean, help me out. What was her name? The British actress, Julie Christie. Yeah.
Yes.
Boy,
what a phenomenal movie, too.
Breakfast at Tiffany's, Casablanca, as we mentioned, and then Gone with the Wind, of course.
Of course.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
So romantic.
Is that romantic?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I have seen that.
Except at the end. It's
Rhett
just
Butler
damn sad.
And Scarlett O'Hara, one of the great movie love stories of all time. I was drunk. I do not remember that.
I thought they, fought.
There was fire. They did. A city burned on fire. I like fire.
I do like fire.
There was war. Loud war. I remember. Today's celebrity birthdays. Florence Henderson. She was the mom on the Brady Bunch, of course, for many years. 80 years old today.
Don't mention her if she's 80.
I got to start checking these names because Kevin will lose his mind if someone's not 30. Tell her. Only 66. We can't talk about him. Pat O'Brien, 66. Can't mention him. Meg Tilly's 54. Can't bring her up. Simon Pegg's 44. Does he get in?
He's got to. He's on the edge, Kevin?
He's on the cusp.
I love him.
We'll let Simon Pegg go. Rob Thomas of Matchbox 20. He's 42. That should fall under Kevin's category. Let me see. Danae Gurira. She's Michonne on The Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin thinks she uses a spear. She's 36. And actor Freddie Highmore. Here we go. Freddie Highmore is 22. We can talk about him all day long. Next show is Beat All Freddie Highmore Highlights. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
This is the home of the K-Rock World Tour 2014. Destination number two is Lollapalooza in Sao Paulo, Brazil. You can go to that this summer, 9:10 this morning. Get you on the standby boarding list. And again, throughout the day at 12:10, 3:10, and 6:10 for your chance to win it. Details at KRock.com. Hey, who's ready for some death?
Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I
love death.
Good batch today. I think you kids are going to enjoy this one very much, especially for Valentine's Day, this first story. Now, have you ever thought about whether dying while having sex is the way you want to go, Kevin?
Absolutely, that's the way you want to go.
Because then the last thing you're ever doing before you check out is something pleasurable.
It might be harsh on your partner, but it's good for you.
Right? Well, in this case, they both died. Oh. This is in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. Here's a couple that was making love in a car with an engine running in an enclosed garage. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we all know...
Oh, no.
Wow.
how carbon monoxide works. They are both 40 years old. The police speculate the two were having a sexual relationship because of the state of undress that they were found in. Marijuana and drug paraphernalia were also found in the car. Plus, the car's ignition switch was on, but the vehicle had run out of gasoline, which is another way to tell that it just ran until they ran out of gas, basically. But why? How? Look, I know you get caught up in the moment, and that's all you're thinking about is the sexy time, but how do you not realize you're in an enclosed garage with the engine running?
Yeah, why don't you turn the car off?
Oh, I don't know.
Turn the car off. Although they are in Pennsylvania in February, so maybe it's just too cold in the garage without the thing.
Heat.
So
you got to have some heat.
Well, they had some heat, and then not so much after that. 68-year-old man in Majorca, the beautiful Mediterranean island there. This is an unusual death corner story. Here's what he had, a bunch of pets at home that he laid down newspapers for. Where did he get these newspapers? He went to those boxes that you see in parking lots where people can recycle their newspapers. You know, you drop them in the slot and then they get off to recycling. You've all seen those, right?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
He reached his head in there and got caught. Put his head through the slot of the container to retrieve discarded newspapers and strangled himself to death.
Oh
my God.
Sweet.
That's how he was found, with his little legs just dangling. So
during sex or that guy?
Nope.
No.
Nope. This guy was just trying to get some newspapers to put under his puppy. So that's not any good. Nobody wants that, right? Here's a story, Kevin. You'll be delighted. It's very rare that you're going to be delighted that somebody died.
I'm not a fan of death like you are.
But this one, I think you're going to think is some sort of a karma. This is a suicide bomber camp in Iraq.
Oh, sweet.
There's a crowd of new students huddling around their commander, learning how to blow themselves up amid a crowd of people when the teacher accidentally obliterated his own crowd, injuring 15 and killing 22.
Yay! Wow.
So his job, this is Hurt Locker on you, man. His job is to teach people how to be suicide bombers. And every time we see one of these stories, we ask ourselves, where do they find these people who are committed to the cause enough to blow themselves up when they're like 25 years old? How do they find these people? This guy had at least 37 people around him at this course he was teaching. This must be a popular thing.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
The instructor was named in a New York Times report, but little is known about the man other than the fact that he failed to realize his bomb was chock full of live explosives before showing his students how to detonate.
Not a great teacher, I gotta be honest.
No, not at all. Here's a sad story. David Strome, 27, a local story too, in Tustin, California. This just every once in a while a story like this comes along on the death corner, you just realize how easy it is to die if you're just wrong place, wrong time. This guy climbed up a tree to take some pictures of the beautiful sunrise on Sunday morning. And he did take those pictures, and he did upload them to Facebook, you know, from the tree. And then somehow on his way either further up the tree or down the tree, he came in contact with power lines and was electrocuted.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
Again, 27 years old in Tustin. According to the Orange County Fire Authority, they said after he took the pictures and posted them on Facebook, he came in contact with some power lines up there and was electrocuted. Just a crazy, unexpected. So, like, 1 minute you're commuting with nature, you're having a beautiful Sunday morning. My God, isn't God great? Look at the sun. And then the next minute, you know, he's killed you.
Hey, God.
What's up with that? And finally, and I think this is another one, Kevin, that you're going to be delighted about, because actually Ralph would love this story. Her name is Clonda Ritchie. She was 57 years old. She lives in Dayton, Ohio, and she is what we would refer to as a crazy cat person. She decorates her home in cats. She's got cats on her mailbox. She's got cat statues in the yard. She has 20 cats in her house. Hard to believe she is single, living with her 20 cats.
Uh-huh.
There's not enough details in this article for me to know how this happened, but she was found naked on the sidewalk in front of her house where she had been attacked and killed by two neighborhood dogs.
Yay! The dogs are like, F you, woman.
Yep, that's exactly what happened. It's so ironic that this devout animal lover would be killed by other animals in such a brutal, aggressive way, said a friend. And went on to talk about how she was very passionate about animals and their well-being. She always had a special place in her heart. I mean, I guess you could look at this one of two ways. You could go, she was smart to choose cats because cats don't attack and kill you. But on the other hand, maybe if she had chosen dogs, she might have known a little bit more about them and wouldn't end up dead naked on a sidewalk in front of her house. And that's this week's Bean's Death Corner.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
Forget minorities. Forget women. Billionaires are the most persecuted class of people in the United States of America today.
Those poor bastards.
They really are taking it hard.
And we will feel bad for them in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin DeBeat Show. First, though, it's Friday. Thanks for tuning in. It's time for Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
Boy, a bunch of movies coming out this weekend. Something for everybody, from action-adventure to romance to zombies. You name it. We got it. Let's start off with a remake of a famous romantic film starring Brooke Shields back in the day called Endless Love. This one stars Alex Pettyfer and Bruce Greenwood, Robert Patrick. It's the it's your basic Romeo and Juliet story of a privileged rich girl and a charismatic poor boy who fall desperately in love, but their parents try to keep them apart. Nothing good can ever come from that, I'm telling you. Don't try to keep the lovers apart, people. Bad things will happen. Here's the scene from the film where the boyfriend finally stands up to the rich dad and says, "No, sir, no."
"This is just a summer fling. It's not real love. You're in no position to lecture me on what real love is. You have no idea what goes on in my marriage."
"No, no, I don't. But I know you have this incredible family. I see how you treat them. I would never treat Jade that way."
"Oh, tell me, how would you treat her, David? Go ahead. Like that kid in the police report? I did a little research. Is that the kind of person you think I want for my daughter?"
"Oh!
No, he didn't.
It's on. But, Daddy, I love him!"
The one thing we know from the movies over the years is you can't tell a teenager that he or she is not in love.
No.
You just can't. It's not possible.
No. And usually they are, and that's why you can't tell them they're not, because they are.
I like Bean's source for that, though, which is we've learned from the movies.
Well, that's where we do learn everything. And what you need to do is, if you don't want your kid dating some douchebag, just push her into his arms. And then she'll realize he's a douchebag, and then they'll break up, and then you get back on with your life. But if you keep him apart, then it makes him look more desirable. I'm telling you, people. Telling you. Haven't we learned nothing from Brooke Shields? Also opening up this weekend, your zombie movie of the week. This one's called The Returned, in a post-zombie apocalyptic world. Good news is they have invented a retroviral drug, which is when you're infected with the zombie virus, you can live a normal life because you take this drug and it keeps you from zombifying.
Oh, fantastic news.
Yeah, that is good news. Until the drug starts running out.
No!
Then what do you do? Well, that's the premise of a movie called The Returned.
The incubated virus is always there, but the daily dosage keeps it at a safe distance.
These people are time bombs. If they miss just one dosage, one, there's no going back.
It doesn't look good.
Please don't hurt me. I want to be normal.
I have less than 24 hours. Do you understand that?
I can't help you now, Kate.
So what do you suggest I do? Just stand around and watch him die?
Wow, that's scary.
Are people joining the show?
They are. I didn't realize that.
Adult World opens up this week in limited release. Everyone relax. It's not what you think.
Oh.
I got excited. And
turned I'm out. Very excited about this movie,
turned
Ralph.
It's some, yeah, it's not Adult World at all. It's about some dumb girl who wants to be a dumb poet.
Ugh, sounds terrible.
Instead, she ends up working in an adult bookstore.
Oh.
But that's good, right?
Yeah.
No, it's not really that sexy.
Not that good.
No, it's all dumb poetry and dumbness. Not a lot of porn. John Cusack stars along with Emma Roberts. Here is some clips from the trailer of Adult World.
I love your work. I just want to smash your head open and take everything in there.
That's lovely.
Rejection letters. Every literary review in the country hates me. You were so young when you became famous.
Amy, fame doesn't mean everything. Not everybody's talented, okay?
How do you feel about failure?
I failed many times.
That's good. Continue to fail. If you want to make art, you have to fail. And so the artist's job is to fail better.
You should make t-shirts.
Get to the boning.
I'm in.
What are you in for?
You're in.
I hear Cusack is great in this,
he's
by the way.
He's
good. One of my favorite actors of all time, and he doesn't always pick very good movies, but this one looks good to me.
Where's the boning?
Well, I'm not. I think the title is throwing you off, Ralph.
Hell yeah. They should have called it that. It's called Boneless Poet. That's what they should have called it.
Winter's Tale. Oh, you looking for your romance? Winter's Tale has it in spades. Colin Farrell is a burglar who falls for an heiress as she dies in his arms.
What?
It's another story about mismatched class warfare and how the poor love the rich and the rich love the poor.
But he falls for her after she's dead?
Yes, but he learns he has the gift of reincarnation.
How fortunate.
That's so lucky. He can use his powers to try to save her life by changing time. I'm confused. Colin Farrell stars along with Russell Crowe, and Will Smith has a little cameo in this movie. Winter's Tale. Here's a scene where Colin Farrell gets questioned by his beautiful rich heiress's dad, William Hurt.
How do I know that you're not moved by vanity or curiosity? How do I know that you're not here for the money in this family?
I was an orphan. Orphans don't have vanity. I'm not quite sure why, but one needs parents to be vain.
And of her condition?
I've never loved much before. So death hasn't been something to be avoided. But now when I think of losing her, is it possible to love someone so completely they simply can't die?
Aren't you cold?
Oops. I couldn't tell if that continued or not.
No, that was,
okay.
That was
my bad.
The touching end of Winter's Tale. The buzz on this film is not good.
Oh.
I will warn you before you go. However, I've had a friend who saw it and said his wife did not care. Colin Farrell's dreamy, and
yeah, well,
she got swept away. So,
okay.
There's your warning. About Last Night, another remake of a classic David Mamet play that became a very successful film with Rob Lowe and Rob Belushi back in the day. Now it's made with an all-African-American cast. Kevin Hart leads them off, along with Joy Bryant, Regina Hall, Brian Callen. Two couples fall in love, and the journey that they take from the bar to the bedroom is eventually put to test in the real world. Because it's hard out there for a pimp. Here's Kevin Hart's ex telling girls at a Halloween party that he's attending that he has herpes. That's never good.
Aren't you cold?
I am Channing Tatum. Channing Tatum never gets cold.
Church.
Who are you waving those singles at? Mm-mm. There ain't no magic in that, Minnie Mike.
You see what I'm talking about?
Take a little drink. Get on the way. Uh-huh. I have that.
What is she?
Okay.
Joe!
You imagine that? Hey, Joe!
What did you just say to them?
Nothing. I just told them you gave me herpes.
Did I have? I don't have herpes, Joe!
Uh-oh.
You got no idea what I'll do to you.
You better make it count.
Because you won't get a second.
It's a lot of yelling in that film.
A lot of yelling.
A lot of yelling.
Is that Kevin Hart again?
Yeah, Kevin Hart, sure. Kevin Hart's got a new movie out. It is Friday, Bean.
That's true.
That means Kevin Hart has a new movie out.
Okay.
And lastly, this is the one I'm looking forward to. Robo Mother Effin' Cop.
Another remake.
What's up? Well, you know, people have no access to older films. That's the problem. If you want to see the original RoboCop, there's nowhere you can see it. So they have to remake it so people can see it.
I think you can see it anywhere.
What?
Yeah.
Jose Padilla is the director of this. He is a great action filmmaker, and he is taking on this reimagining of RoboCop starring Joel Kinnaman, very talented actor. Abby Cornish stars as his lovely wife, Gary Oldman, as the genius scientist who creates the RoboCop, Michael Keaton, as the head of the evil corporation that wants to mechanize our law enforcement. It's 2028 Detroit. Look, could they do any worse in Detroit? I don't think so. Put RoboCop in there. See what he can do. He's a loving husband, a father, a good cop, and he's critically injured, and so they have to build him, make him better than he was. Better, stronger, faster. He's half man, half robot. He's a police officer. He is RoboCop.
Alex, listen to me. The EM-208s will try to maneuver you so Maddox can get a clear shot. Do not let that happen. If Maddox hits you, everything but your life support will shut down. You'll feel more pain than you've ever felt in your life.
I don't know about that. I've been through a lot.
I say we go in three. Three. Whatever you do, don't get shot in the face.
That sounds good. It's loud.
That does sound good.
I'm going to go because the Louding shooters.
I am going to go.
Louding of all the shooters are good.
Kevin will be in RoboCop this weekend. Lisa will probably go see Winter's Tale. And
yes.
Bean, of course, will go to see the movie about the girl who works in the porn shop who has a poet boyfriend. How appropriate for creepy Bean to be lurking in the video booths wanting to hear their story.
I like so. Occasionally when Bean's choice is worse than mine.
Something for everybody this weekend. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Ronda Rousey talks UFC 170 coming up later on today on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, well, apparently something to do with depressed penguins, and I don't even know. I don't even think I want to know about that. I don't want my penguins to be sad.
No,
we'll take care of it. Don't worry.
Here's a story that centers around America's number one film right now, the Lego Movie. Anyone see that yet? The Lego Movie?
I have not.
I wanted to, but the times didn't work out. Looks good.
You should go see it. By all accounts, it is a fantastic movie and just hilarious. And apparently Will Arnett, doing the voice of Batman, just steals the movie. But it looks great. Well, the villain in this movie is a guy named Lord Business. He's, you know, we've seen this in lots and lots of different movies. He's the evil rich guy who's tried to screw over the poor people that we relate to and root for in the film, right?
Right, right.
And I don't think the point is that everybody who runs a business is automatically evil, but the character in the Lego Movie does happen to run a business and does happen to be evil. But that's not the way Fox News sees it. And they recently did a whole segment on how Hollywood is anti-business. And you're going to think that we made this up, but this is real tape right off the Fox News channel.
Hollywood pushing its anti-business message to our kids. First, it was the Muppets movie. Remember, they used an oil baron as the enemy. A year later, it was the Lorax, casting environmentalists against anyone who dared to create a new business. And, well, now it's the Lego Movie with the villain named President Business. Take a listen to him.
Would you cancel my 2 o'clock? This next meeting could run a little bit deadly.
Hollywood has long been dominated by the far left, which is very anti-capitalist. And we've seen these movies over the decades. I think about It's a Wonderful Life, where Mr. Potter, the banker, is considered the villain in that movie. Do you think, I mean, for Hollywood, it's all about the bottom line. So they will hire a Republican star like Sylvester Stallone or Bruce Willis if they think that they can carry a movie and make money. What is the purpose of trying to indoctrinate kids in a movie? I mean, I guess they believe this movie is going to make a lot of money. So no matter what, they can embed these kinds of anti-capitalist messages and get away with it.
You're defending Mr.
Potter?
Wait, hold on. That's real?
Wait, Mr. Go ahead.
Yes, Lisa?
No, you go ahead.
Mr. Potter is the slumlord in It's a Wonderful Life, who's basically trying to crush everyone in town and make them live in their crappy the crappy houses that
he
built.
So what Fox News says is true.
Well, he is an evil villain, but again, just because you have a rich guy as an evil villain doesn't mean that you're saying that all rich people are evil. That's the disconnect here, I think, in this argument.
Here, by the way, that argument, not strong enough. So somebody wrote a letter to the editor of the Wall Street Journal, and in that he says, I would call attention to the parallels of fascist Nazi Germany to its war on its 1%, namely the Jews, to the progressive war on the American 1%, namely the rich.
It's exactly the same. Rounding up the Jews to put in ovens is the same as making fun of a rich person in a Lego movie.
That's correct.
Well, we wanted to find out more about this. Maybe there is another side of the story that we're just not seeing. So we asked Dave if you could line somebody up, and I believe we have Charles Emerson Clark. He's on the phone. He is a spokesperson for an organization called the Rich Americans Against Persecution. Is that right, Mr. Clark?
Yes, that's correct. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today. We appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're probably a guy who makes $1 million a minute, so this is very valuable for you to give us a little bit of your time today.
Yes, I am losing money while I'm speaking with you. Mm. Hold on a second.
All right.
Oh, no, I just made some more. That's okay.
So what are we not hearing about this? Because we listened to that tape on Fox, and it sounds like a Saturday Night Live skit where they're parodying intelligent people and their thoughts.
Well, it's easy to dismiss, but in reality, that is absolutely true. Being a rich person in America is now like being a Jew in Germany in the 1930s.
That's dumb.
That is absolutely correct. Not that it's dumb, but that is right.
I see.
How is it like that?
Those of us here at RAAP, R-A-A-P, the Rich Americans Against Persecution, mm-hmm. and please don't confuse it, it's the good RAAP, not the other one.
What's wrong with you?
The fact that we're being persecuted, and if you don't pay attention now, sure, they may be coming for our Bentleys now, but next it'll be for your crappy Prius or whatever it is that you drive.
Okay.
So keep in mind that once all the rich people are rounded up, then only poor people will be left to
How are rich people being rounded up? Rich people are living in a country where they have the ability to make billions of dollars. How is that you being persecuted against?
Because everyone's picking on us.
Does it hurt your
feelings?
Yes,
it does. And, you know, this climate we live in under this socialist dictator, right. President Barack Obama.
Right. Oh, the African?
Yes. Somali pirate, Barack Obama.
He's not a Somali
pirate. I'm the president now. He said that. He came to the White House with a gun. He said, I'm the president now.
That's not what happened.
It happened. I saw it.
That's not how it happened.
I saw Fox News did a special on it.
I see. Okay. All right. You were saying.
And now he's trying to make us all out. These billionaires, here's what we're going to do. We're going to bail them out so they don't have to suffer any losses. That's bad?
Well, people tend to... No, I mean, it's people's tax money that they're using to help.
And then he said that, and then people suddenly angry at us because they're unemployed and we're still rich. Come on.
What does that mean, come on?
Stop
if you're
it.
Unemployed, that's stop it.
Yeah. And we're underrepresented in Congress. Did you know only over half of the people in Congress are millionaires? Only over half.
That sounds like a lot.
Only over half. What we need is 100% of Congress to be made up of millionaires.
But then no one will represent the little guy.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm missing your point. Yeah, so, right, yes, and, good, right, so, and, well, plus, yes, as well, también, y tú.
Right, so I'm saying maybe we need people to represent both sides. No?
Oh, you're cute.
Okay, Lisa, it's world famous K-Rock at 6:53.
Is Mr. Garman invisible, or am I just not seeing him?
I'm not seeing him yet.
Okay. He's not in. Hey, coming up right after the top of the hour, perhaps the most terrifying 10 minutes of the Kevin and Bean Show all year long. Ralph Garman is going to be out next week. He's working on a movie, and he is going to be assigning voice bits for us to do. The rest of us who don't do voices on the Kevin and Bean Show, he's going to be handing them out to us next
time. I'm not handing them out. It's just that, you know, they have to get done. There have to be voice bits on the show. It's a big part of the show. And without
sure.
me to do it, then
right,
someone's
right.
got to pick up the slack. So what we're going to do is just audition you guys amongst the remaining crew here.
Right.
Find out who's got the most talent for that. And then that person will carry on in my absence.
Oh, now but that you, person has to do all the voices?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So we're just going to have an audition process to see who's got the talent, who's got the gift. And then that person will have to be my backup.
Can't we just tell you now ahead of that embarrassment that none of us can do voices?
I don't think that's the case at all. I think you're selling yourself short. I think there's some undiscovered talent in this bunch. And we're going to be like an American Idol style search
for okay.
the next big voice star.
All
so
right.
we will cull whatever talents you guys have, and we'll find the best, and that person will carry on.
I think it's going to go well.
I do too. I think it's better than, you know, just sitting back and saying, oh, what are we going to do? I don't know. Just gather it around? You know, yeah, come on, guys, get in the game.
Hey, we know Lisa May can do Linkin Park.
Exactly. Shut up when I'm talking to you! Shut up when I'm talking to you! Shut up! I think
right,
I've already
see?
Won.
See? That's coming up right after the top of the hour. I am a scared. First, though, type of the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Yeah, I heard you guys talking about Legos and the Lego movie.
Yeah.
Good news for Legos fans. It's the Lego world. We just live in it right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about the Legos. The Simpsons have announced they will have an entire episode animated using Legos this season. So instead of the usual hand-drawn animation that they get from South Korea, whatever it is they get their work done, it's going to be all Legos. It'll be animated Legos.
That'd be funny.
Okay.
They already have their own set of Lego blocks, and it'll use stop-motion animation, or either that or CGI Legos like in the movie, and it'll air in May during their 25th anniversary season. So, more Legos.
Okay.
All right.
I hope they don't talk about Mr. Burns, that rich,
that's right.
evil, rich man who was always trying to ruin people's lives in Springfield, because then there'll be hell to pay.
Well, he represents all rich people. You know that if you make fun of a character in a TV show, that means you're making fun of everyone in that group.
Thank you. Glad you recognized that finally. Ryan Seacrest has launched his own clothing line.
I'm sorry.
Let me try this again.
Say that again.
Ryan Seacrest has launched his own clothing line. It's called Ryan Seacrest Distinction. It's aimed at guys who have a hard time putting an outfit together. It's got a color matching system.
Oh, good.
It's like Garanimals for grown-ups.
Nope.
It'll all be modeled after Ryan's signature look, it says.
Does he have a signature look?
And much like Ryan himself, it will be unisex. So all the clothing will be either for men or women.
And that is no way to live.
Yeah. Lots of suits and skinny ties, and it's priced to sell. Just $45 for accessories like belts and things, and then about $550 for a full suit. So you too can look like Ryan Seacrest.
Hmm.
He does dress like a TV host. I mean, that's what he yes. looks like. He looks like he's appropriate to be on television, but I don't know that that's what you want to wear walking around.
He does wear a suit.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for the hard-to-find suit, you can finally go to the Ryan Seacrest collection and buy a suit, because you can't get those just anywhere. They also say that all of Ryan's talent will also come in one of the empty pockets of the suit. You got that going for you. Hey, we talked about the Oscars and the fact that U2 was going to be performing their Oscar-nominated original song from the Nelson Mandela movie when the Academy Awards air on March the 2nd. And we mentioned that Karen O of the Yeah Yeah Yeahs had yet to confirm that she would be singing her song, The Moon Song,
right.
for the movie Her. Well, good news. Karen is on board. All four nominated
Yay!
Songs will be performed live on the ABC telecast, so she indeed will be there, and you get to see everybody who sang the originals singing the song in performance at the Oscars, which is nice, because sometimes they have other people step in and they do, like, cover versions and stuff. But it's
yeah,
all,
it's
all,
no good.
All the original artists. Good stuff.
Do you mind, Ralph, because I'm a huge Karen O fan, a lot of people maybe haven't seen her yet or have heard that song. Do you mind if I play just a taste of what that Oscar-nominated song sounds
no,
like?
No, feel free.
Can't wait.
Oh, that's good stuff.
She's good.
And while we're talking about music, it is Valentine's Day. Billboard magazine has put together a list of the biggest love songs ever to hit the top 100. Best-selling, most popular love songs ever in the top 100. Here are your top 10. Number 10, I Can't Stop Loving You, Ray Charles. Huge hit, apparently, for Ray. I can't stop loving you. Tim,
okay.
Is Kevin going to hate every song on this top 10 list?
Yeah, I guarantee it. Best of My Love, The Emotions. Because
oh, there you go, Kevin. That's a great song.
Do not like it. Do not know it. Because I Love You, Stevie B. Let Me Love You, Mario. I Will Always Love You, Whitney Houston.
That's not bad.
Sixth on the list. Silly Love Songs, Paul McCartney and Wings. Fifth.
Terrible.
Fifth best-selling love song from the Billboard 100.
Now, these are songs with love in the title,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
Wow, it's hard to believe that you could be bigger than I Will Always Love You. That's only at number six. That's amazing.
Yeah. How Deep Is Your Love? The B, Mother Effin' G's.
Yeah.
We Found Love, Rihanna, featuring Calvin Harris. I'll Make Love to You, Boys Two Men. That's a great song.
That and is a good song.
The number one biggest love song... Song with love in the title, ever to hit the top 100. I think you'll be surprised. Endless Love, Diana Ross and Lionel Richie.
Mm,
well, that makes sense.
Song.
That was a
monster
movie?
Hit. Monster, yeah.
That was a movie, too.
Yeah. So, here's your love songs.
All right.
Here's a clip of that if you haven't heard it.
I don't believe that. I think that's Whitney Houston singing I Will Always Love You in the tub. At the hotel. Just before the end.
That went south so fast!
Yeah, I apologize.
Too soon?
Yeah, I think maybe so. Today's celebrity birthdays, Florence Henderson. You know her as Mrs. Brady. You know her, you love her. You gotta have her. She was rocking the mullet way before it was fashionable, by the way. 80 years old today. Teller of Penn Teller, 66 years old. Radio host? Former radio host Pat O'Brien celebrates his 66th birthday. Actress Meg Tilly is 54. Enrico Colantoni. You know him as Veronica Mars' dad. Also, he was on Just Shoot Me. Very funny, talented actor. 51 years old. Actor Zach Galligan. He was the kid who owned the Gremlin. Ah, Zach. He's 50 years old. Simon Pegg's 44. Rob Thomas of Matchbox 20 is 42. Danae Gurira. Michonne from Walking Dead, she's 36. And Freddie Highmore, a very talented young actor, 22. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, I feel good about this. I think it's going to go well. One of our very popular listeners. That's the wrong word. He's a frequent contributor. He's a frequent listener is the word I mean to. His name is Holmy in Newport Beach. We hear from him all the time on Twitter. Uh-huh. He's very excited listening to this radio right now this morning. He says, I cannot think of any downside to the 2014 Kevin and Bean voice idol. It is bulletproof. And I think you're absolutely right, Holmy. Right. I don't see could go bad at all. So, Ralph, tell us what we need to do.
I'm going to be out next week. I got to go shoot a little acting gig. So I don't want to leave the show in a lurch. And I know I do a lot of the voices here on the Kevin and Bean show. So rather than not to have those bits, it's better to find somebody here amongst our own staff who can carry on with in my stead. Who can
and you think
fill in the gap.
And you think that Dave, the King of Mexico.
Dave has a lot of talent. He's a talented guy.
Lisa May.
Yes, Lisa's lovely and talented. People Bean. Love her. Bean
but Ralph,
don't you think
that in all these years that we've been working together, now 15 years you've been on the Kevin and Bean show.
Don't remind me.
If any of us could do voices, you would already know about
it? No. I think you guys just, it's the path of least resistance. You go to your strong suit naturally, but when pressed, when called upon, I think you can rise to the occasion.
What's
and
my
deliver.
Strong suit?
Well, you know, you're
you moment with creator.
You are half of the Kevin and Bean show. Your name is half of the Kevin
okay,
and Bean show.
So my name.
You got that going for you.
All right.
Beer Mug, we've known he's talented
sure.
for some time now.
Sure.
So I just think there's untapped potential here. I think there is a pool of talent lying just below the bedrock.
All we
need to do is just drill through deep enough
okay.
and then geyser of talent. Just an oil Derrick rig blast black gold just flying everywhere.
That's what you hope to accomplish.
It's gonna happen.
Okay.
That's what I'm telling you.
All right.
So what I've got the wheel here, the wheel of voices, and it's got a and it's got a bunch of voices on it. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to call on each of you, and I'll spin the wheel. And whatever comes up, you just do that impression.
Okay.
You do that voice. You do that a voice, and then we'll just at the end we'll sort of gauge who did the best job, and that person will become the new Kevin and Bean character impression voiceover artist for the week next week.
Okay. All right. Got it.
Ooh. Now, we, in the interest of full disclosure, we have no idea what's on the wheel.
Nope.
We have a meeting about this. We haven't rehearsed this. This is going to be as new to us as it is to the listeners.
Right.
So it's odd how secret Ralph insisted on keeping this.
Well, because it wouldn't be fair to anyone if any one of you knew what voice you were going to do.
Fairness.
Then you practice it.
And then we'd be so amazing.
And he's testing our improv skills,
exactly.
Man.
It's another thing. You know,
come on.
We don't write a lot of the sketches that we do on the phone and things like that.
Sure.
You have to be quick-witted and things like that, so we see who's got what.
This is going to suck for me.
Should we start with King?
Let's
start with the King of Mexico.
Let's start with the King
of Mexico. All right, Dave. Al Pacino. I want to hear your Al Pacino, Dave.
All right. Hoo-ah! Let's have fun. I'm going to be the voice guy next week. Hoo-ah! Look at that ass! Hoo-ah!
Ta-da!
That's pretty good. That's
not bad, Dave. Not bad at all.
That's not bad. Okay.
You're definitely one of the front runners, Dave. America loves
so far.
he just had to go first. That's all. The rest of us might be way worse.
Okay, let's see how Lisa does.
Lisa, all right. Put in the wheel. What voice?
Larry Flint. Larry Flint came up for Lisa May. Popular Hustler magazine publisher, magnate Larry Flint. For Lisa.
Hello, Kevin and Bean. Yes, I love my gold wheelchair. Wait, I hear the phone ringing. I better get it.
All right.
Yeah, Lisa. Woo. Not bad.
Even a performance. I like that.
Let's go back to Dave.
Kevin, I think you're up next. You're up on the wheel.
Come on now. Make it easy.
William Shatner. William Shatner came to you, Kevin.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's easy.
Legendary Captain James T. Kirk of Star Trek fame.
Scotty. Bean. Me up.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you. The minimalist stylings of Kevin Ryder. You may have to put more than one word together if you're doing a voice fit. That's the only, criticism I would give you, dog.
I put beam and me together.
You're a little pitchy, dog. Right, I'm just saying. Yeah. Let's go up to Bean, see how he does.
All right.
Uh-oh. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Arnold Schwarzenegger to Bean.
Oh, God. Yeah.
What's that? Was that part of it?
No, I'm just getting ready. I'm getting ready for Arnold. All right, here we go.
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
Ah, it's me in the gym. Look at me working out. You're so puny. I'm so huge. I'm the governor. I will impregnate you.
All right. Beer mug, you want to step up to the microphone?
Here goes.
See what you got. Christopher Walken. Christopher Walken for you, beer mug.
Wow. Okay. Kevin and Bean, it's so good to be hanging out with you today. I think I just pooped my pants.
There it is.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah. That was Christopher Walken you were doing?
Christopher Walken.
Okay.
Wow. You guys were all so good.
Did we find... It's hard to choose,
it
right?
It really is.
Who do you...
Did we find the
guy? Is there like a head-to-head competition in the end? Or
a playoff system? I feel Al and I feel Arnold.
Yeah, that's
the most.
You know, Lisa, it's so funny. I have written down here Bean and Dave.
Yeah. Oh. Should we do
a voice want
song?
To win this. Yeah. I don't want to win this.
Head-to-head competition.
Yep.
Sudden death.
All right, let's spin the wheel again just for Dave and Bean, and we'll see what we come up with, all right?
All right, good. I thought I was done. I thought I skated.
Dave, Homer Simpson. Homer Simpson to you, Dave.
Oh, no. What am I going to do?
You just throwing it now?
Why, are you little? Bart, come back here.
It's pretty strong.
It's pretty strong. It's
pretty strong.
All right, Bean, that's what you have to beat. That's what you're up against. You ready? You ready for the challenge?
Yeah, I'm ready for the challenge.
All right. Bean gets TV's Batman, Adam West.
TV's Batman. Oh, I love him so much.
I know.
Well, Ralph, I'm sorry you have to be...
Wait, you gotta finish.
I don't know what voice I'm doing.
Well, Ralph, I'm sorry you have to be out next week, but I'm looking forward to filling in, old chum.
Wow.
Winner!
Bean will be doing all the voices next week.
Couldn't have been any worse.
That was fantastic.
You found my replacement. Well done, Bean. Congratulations. I look forward to hearing all of your success.
Oh, dear God, no. Like those neon trees so much, Kings of Leon, their latest Wait For Me up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Friday morning. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. You can always call and leave a message for us anytime, day or night, on the Kevin and Bean Afro line at 323-520-AFRO. What are people talking about today?
Well, Angry Guy called back. Now, Angry Guy is a guy who calls all the time and called for 4 months before we actually started putting him on the air. So we think maybe it's real. And he has really been hating on me, so I'm glad to see him move off of me and on to Omar.
Oh.
No, Omar, I don't know if you realize this, but you're a bitch.
What do you think that's about? Like, why would he... There's a lot of reasons to hate you if you listen to the show.
Right, of course.
Not many to hate Omar, though.
No.
Hello, Omar. You're going to pay, you coward. Legally, you're going to pay for what you did on my name, you bitch.
What? He did something on his name?
I don't know what that means.
No idea.
Do you know anything about tortillas? Do you know anything about tortillas? Well, black sheep, have you any wool? What do you know about tortillas, dude?
Okay, what's happening now?
What is happening indeed?
Good morning, douchebags.
Thank you. Very nice of you.
Who the f*** cares? Oh, my God, how f*** boring. Oh, my God.
Nobody that could be about anything, really.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. We talk about a lot of stuff that bores people. I have a few talents.
Did Kevin just use the word counterintuitive in the right context? Good boy, Kevin. Here's a treat.
This guy has a vivid imagination.
Is Kevin there? Hey, this is Jared. I met you last night at the bar. It's really nice. Give me a call sometime soon. I'm getting... Oh, my God.
His impression, whatever he was trying to do, is worse than any of ours.
Just let it go.
That's an excellent point.
Just let it go.
That's a good tip. I have to tell you ahead of time that this is an impression of DMX, because this guy is every bit as bad as we were about 15 minutes ago.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, what's up? It's your boy, DMX. As you know, the fight fell through with Zimmerman. So now I want to fight the next best thing. The fat ass named Beer Mug and X gon' on his face. What? Hey, DMX, X gon' give it to you. What?
All right.
That is the worst impression of a rapper I've ever heard. He's not an angry old Jew. You know that, right?
How many times have we had Sam the Armenian Comedian on and asked him to tell a joke? And when he's finished, we have no idea what he was going for.
Most of the time.
I'm going to tell you that I'm about to play an Afro call from Sam, and it makes good sense, and it's also pretty well told.
Don't say it's sort of funny also.
My wife, she says every day is our Valentine's Day. Because I ask her, can we have a good time on Valentine's Day? She says, I'm busy.
There's an actual joke there.
Yeah?
Every day. Right. I mean, he didn't really do it justice, but you can tell the joke is every day is Valentine's Day because she's not going to do anything with him on this day as well.
That's true.
I see. I got it. Oh,
do
I see.
Progress?
Okay. Yeah. I get you now. Yeah.
We had Matt Money Smith on. He was on the golf course when we were talking to him about the Lakers and how they can foul a person out that stays in the game. And then he said, hey, I'm going to hit a golf shot. And we said, go ahead. And then we listened to Money hit a golf shot. Maybe ill-advised.
Hey, shut up, Kevin. I want to hear Matt Money Smith's golf swing. Hold on. Listen. Oh, nice one. All right. Well, let's go a commercial break and we'll come back so Matt Money Smith can hit another goddamn golf shot on the freaking radio.
That's an excellent point.
It wasn't all we had hoped it would be. And now an impression of Bean.
I. Click, 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 click. I. Click, 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 click. Bean, you're a douche.
I tell Bean that people can hear him clicking, but he just...
He doesn't care.
He just doesn't care. It's the weirdest thing in the world.
Ralph, stop being such a dick to Bean. I don't know about you, but I was raised not to make fun of the mentally challenged.
Oh, I thought she was on my side for a minute there.
See how that turned?
If I hear Bean say tickle kitty one more time, I'm going to barf.
And finally?
I have a request. Could you play Bean the Creep for me, please? I think we would all appreciate it. Thank you.
He's a creep you can't ignore.
Come on, we don't have...
Girl, when are you going to let me tap that ass?
He had a tube in his eye. You're just like a douchebag.
You! Nope.
You make all the girls cry.
These zombies don't have sex, though, right?
You have Asperger's.
People love good phone numbers.
You make women want to hurl.
Ooh! Looking good!
He'll speak very sexual.
Are there any benefits at all, like with the ladies?
So creepy and sexual.
That you have two heads, two mouths?
And Bean's a creep.
That was creepy, right?
Yeah.
That was creepy.
Bean's a weirdo.
We're on the sausage hunt right now.
Breathing heavy into his mic. Bean is so creepy. Bean's really the worst.
I believe I'm going to stick my fist up your...
He'll ask you to get naked.
Is there any other kind of action in the film? Are you and Jason? I mean, is it...
He wants to see your body.
Is it that kind of movie, too?
This man is perverted.
You'll have to excuse being the pervert.
He makes people nauseous. Whenever he's around.
These two, I know they're 19 because they're hella hot.
He'll speak very sexual.
I need somebody to pee on me. Does anybody have to pee?
So creepy and sexual.
She has a boob out, that's all. That's I had to mention that, that's all.
Bean's a creep. He's so creepy.
Run. I'm not creepy.
You better run. You run.
I am not a winner. Not a winner. Not a winner.
Valentine's Day 2014, Leonard writes in, dear Kevin and Bean, here it is, another February 14th. I guess I'll tell my wife the same story I tell her every year. Baby, I would have bought you flowers, but the light turned green. Well, I'm sure that goes over big.
Oh, my God.
Very nice. At least you put the effort in. Speaking of Valentine's Day, it is February, and it is miserable in much of the country. I don't know if you guys had the news on it all yesterday, but seeing some of that, I mean, 11, 12, 13 inches of snow in lots of places in the east and in the south. And then over in England, I don't know if you've been following this or not, Kevin, are having the rainiest winter since. Are you ready for this? 1766.
Wow. That
seems bad. The rainiest winter since 1766. I mean, there are towns that are just underwater, and every single day they wake up and they go, well, today's the day it's going to break. Today's the day we're going to get a little bit of sun. No, it continues to rain. It is so bad that this story comes out of the Sea Life Center in the UK that the penguins are becoming so depressed by how little sunshine that they are getting that they have had to put the penguins in the zoo on antidepressants.
Is this a real story?
Really?
Yes.
They can tell when penguins are bummed?
After the first week, our birds were a little bit subdued, but over a month now, they're thoroughly fed up and miserable, much like the rest of us, says one of the penguins' caregivers, talking to the Guardian newspaper, explaining why they decided to give the penguins antidepressants. The antidepressants seem to be working. They're doing the trick so far, but we're all praying for the weather to change and have at least a few successive days of sunshine to give the penguins the tonic that they really need. So that's just a sad story. I don't even want to I don't want to spend any time thinking about depressed penguins. I'm sorry.
We have one on the phone, if you don't mind.
Really?
What?
Yeah.
What?
From Sea Life Center in the UK. Hello?
Hello.
Oh, no.
How are you?
I'm not doing so good, thanks.
Yeah, it's the weather. That's what's getting you down?
Yeah, that's it. Every day is the same.
Yeah.
Rain, rain, clouds, rain.
Yeah.
Eat a fish. Clouds, rain, waddle, fish.
Wow, you
rain.
Just said, yeah. Mm.
A lot of rain. Now you come from South America, right? Where you're used to some sun.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people when they think penguins, they think, oh, it's icy cold, and they live flap around. You know, like that freaking Batman movie.
Right, right.
But actually, we're used to very sunny climes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're definitely a Southern Hemisphere bird, so it's got to be tough for you to be living in England, I would imagine.
Even in the South Pole, I mean, the sun shines. Yeah, it's cold, but at least you get some sun.
Now, they say they're giving you antidepressants. Have you noticed any? Nope.
Yeah, it's a little bit better.
A little better.
But now I just feel foggy all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
My sex drive has gone away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not easy for a penguin to get laid in the first place.
Yeah.
Now with all the birds feeling like they don't want to have sex, there's even less to do here at the UK Sea Life Centre.
Wow.
Wow. This is kind of sad. Is there anything else that we could do for you to help you, little penguin?
I feel bad for my mates. I mean, they're all really suffering.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just me. It's Danny, Phil, Lewis, Carl, Alan, Clark, Bill. Oh, no. Bill just ended it all.
Oh, God, no!
How Why a penguin they... got a gun, I have no idea.
I was curious about that myself.
I think he carved it out of a fish.
Oh, he really wanted to go.
Maybe if there was a girl penguin there.
Yeah, that'd help, wouldn't it?
Things would pick up a little. Sure. Yes.
Except for Cliff. He seems to quite like being surrounded by fellas. He's looking at me in that funny way.
Well, give it a go.
Hey, Cliff, mind your own matters over there. Why
give it a go.
Stop hey, don't knock until you've tried it.
Like he's defeathering me with his eyes. Stop it, Cliff.
Oh, what happened there? Hello?
Cliff just ended it all.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
Chewed out already.
A country with no guns. A lot of penguins have guns in here.
You are well armed.
We all.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 752.
UFC Women's Bantamweight Champion Rowdy Ronda Rousey joins us in studio coming up at 9 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Don't miss that. Ronda is always a great guest. First, though, Rouse got the showbiz beat on a Friday. What's going on?
Well, it is Valentine's Day.
Right.
So I just want to wish everybody a happy Valentine's Day. And I saw the story in the news. It's not showbiz related, but really quickly, it just showed me the true depth of love. How much love can affect you, how powerful it is, how it is one of the strongest emotions known to man. And I'm so touched by this story, I just wanted to touch on it really quickly. My hat is off to Tors Reynolds. She is a very attractive 26-year-old woman in the UK who learned that her boyfriend of 2 years was cheating on her, sadly.
Mm.
And like a lot of people, she had his name tattooed on her arm. And so she decided when she got the bad news to remove the tattoo.
Okay.
He said he was moving to Alaska to pursue a new job, by the way. Turned out he was still at his house in Essex, just shacking up with a new girlfriend.
Oh, nice.
Never really moved to Alaska. Maybe not the best of cover stories for Chopper. Chopper was his name. Stuart Chopper May. So she removed his tattoo in a very interesting way. She sprayed it down with some lidocaine. And then got a scalpel out.
Oh, no!
Then cut what looks to be around a 6 by 2 inch rectangle around the tattoo. Got a pair of tweezers. Pulled the skin off.
Oh, my God!
The tattoo, which read, Chopper's Bitch, is no longer on her forearm. And then she took the tattoo with the skin and laid it on top of the wound and then posted the picture on Facebook.
Oh, that's so gross.
And that isn't good for you.
And didn't want to leave the skin, you know, to waste. So she mailed it up. She packed it up and mailed it to Chopper.
Wow.
So Chopper opened up the package.
Chopper's in trouble.
Gets a big chunk of skin with the tattoo on it in the mail.
In hindsight, he may have made the right choice getting away from her.
She posted the image on Facebook, and many of her friends called the act crazy.
Yeah, you think?
She said crazy was getting his name tattooed in the first place. Cutting it out was just necessary. She told the newspaper interviewed her, posting the tattoo of Chopper sent a clear message. Now he knows never to mess with me again.
Yes, he does.
You sure taught him.
He sure learned that lesson.
That open wound on your forearm sure taught him that now he's in trouble. That's crazy, right?
Ralph, can I give you a statistic that'll make your head spin before you get back into showbiz?
Sure.
20%, I heard this on the way in, on a news station, 20% of pet owners will give their pet a Valentine's Day gift today.
Holy smokes.
20%.
20%.
Yep.
Well, now we know what part of the herd to cull, right? Just find those people, and you say, hey, look, it's puppy day. Come with us. Get in this van. And then you just take them out. You don't do anything violent. You just euthanize them. You just put them in a chamber and just drop the pellet, right? You do it kindly.
But right.
They got to go. They got to go.
Agreed.
They got to go.
Agreed.
For the record, because I know everyone's looking at me, and I can't speak for Lisa, but I don't do Valentine's Day.
Well, you don't do it for your wife.
You don't do it for your wife either.
Exactly. You wouldn't do it for your pet.
Well, because every day is Valentine's Day at my house. You know that.
But I'm guessing Lisa has a bed of roses down for her dog.
Yeah, no. Boner's a little more comfortable today than normal, but...
So, yes.
Not a big deal.
That's a yes.
Something I would have done anyway.
Hey, congratulations to our buddy Joel McHale, who's just announced this morning that he will be the host of the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Like a monkey.
Like a monkey.
That's a good gig, right?
It's a great gig.
Yeah. Great gig.
It's a coveted slot for a comedian to have. Jimmy Kimmel did it.
Mm-hmm.
And Leno's done it. A bunch of high-profile comedians.
Bill Maher, I think.
Bill Maher's done it, yeah.
You get to high-five the president.
It's true. We're thrilled that Joel will headline the dinner when we celebrate our centennial. I guess it's the 100th. White House Correspondents' Dinner. He's sharp, funny, and just the type of comic who can navigate the unique challenge of our dinner, making fun of Democrats, Republicans, and especially the news media. Washington can use a little good-natured ribbing, writes the president of the White House Correspondents' Association. So, yeah, Washington could use a good-natured ribbing. And some carpet bombing!
Yeah.
Huh! Like a monkey!
I'm not sure what any of that means.
I can't either, so... I'm happy for Joel. That's good news. Also, congratulations to Megan Fox.
Yes.
Who just popped out her second son yesterday.
Oh, she needs to stop with that.
I didn't know she was pregnant again.
With her husband, Brian Austin Green. Yeah, that's why she hasn't been working. She got pregnant again. No word on the name for little Tyke yet. The couple's other son, Noah, is just a toddler. He'll be two in September, so they are, with rapid succession, growing their family. Brian also has an 11-year-old son named Cassius from his ex, Vanessa Marcille Cassius.
That's a terrible name.
Unless you live in ancient Rome or you're a boxer, your name shouldn't be Cassius.
That's correct.
So, congratulations to Megan.
Oh, I've got a confession for you, foxy lady. I think you're a foxy lady.
Yeah, good point. Here's the thing and I know this is inappropriate, and I've been through the magic of childbirth myself with my own wife and child, mm-hmm. but I couldn't help but think it's Megan Fox.
Right.
Now, somebody had to deliver that baby.
Right.
Come on, Ralph.
I'm just saying.
It's not sexy.
I know, Lisa. In almost every other circumstance, it is not sexy. But.
You think they do?
What if you're the OBGYN and Megan Fox is your patient? Isn't it a little bit sexy? Little bit sexy being down there?
The things that happen.
Being down I don't know, Ralph. I could be wrong, but I don't think. I think you don't look at the vagina the same way when it's minutes away from giving birth.
But what if I agree? But what if you
look up? What if you look at the vagina? Oh, this is. I'm very scientific. I'm a doctor. I am very professional. And then you look up, and then the person attached to the vagina is Megan Fox.
Still Megan Fox. Like, yeah.
In that moment when you look up and look at her face and go, wow, she sure looks pretty without makeup. Does that moment, is there a sexy moment there before you just roll up your sleeves and get back down in there? Get back in the trenches? Fight the good fight?
I think there could be. I think you could still appreciate her from boobs up. Yeah, I think so.
I hate to suggest this because I won't be here to appreciate it because I'll be out of town next week. But
calls?
There might be a phone-in topic of gynecologists or OBGYNs, men, and asking the question, is there ever, even in just a fleeting moment of, yeah, in their jobs?
I don't think we want to know.
Well,
you would never admit that. I want to know.
But that's horrifying.
They also see them during the 9 months time, right? They come in for appointments
and whatnot. Checks and let me make sure everything's working right there, Megan.
Ew.
I'm just saying.
You're going into creepy territory.
This is so much
you. I'm just saying.
You guys would never, ever let this go if I had brought this up.
Yes, because it would have been much worse if you had brought it up.
I don't think it could be any worse.
This is just simply curiosity. We're only human when you come down to the final analysis. I'm just interested in human nature and what it's like to be a man in that profession.
I've never really talked to one before. At some point, Megan Fox comes in for the ultrasound or whatever, and she's only 3 months pregnant, and she's still all Megan Foxy.
Yes.
That's your point.
Babies come out of her butt, right?
No, you need a lesson.
Bean, what would Adam West say in that situation?
I don't think this is appropriate.
It's getting worse.
God, is it possible?
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. I don't mean to be disrespectful. I'm just curious.
Listen.
A guy's a guy, right? And I know 99% of the time there's got to be just a professional face put on their profession. But once in a while, right?
I just don't think anyone would ever admit that on the air, though.
Look, we've had people admit a lot worse things than that on the air. And they could be anonymous. Today's celebrity birthdays, Florence Henderson, Mrs. Brady herself, 80 years old today.
Do you think that Lisa May's gynecologist thinks about her that way?
I have a woman gynecologist.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
So, we got a whole thing going on.
That's right, yeah.
Gloves are off, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, she should still be wearing gloves.
Oh, sorry to offend your
delicate sensibilities,
your hygiene.
It's really up to me more than you.
Teller of Fettadeller 66, radio host? What do you call him? A guy who used to have a job? Pat O'Brien is 66 years old.
Podcaster.
Personality. Personality Pat O'Brien. Meg Tilly's 54. Enrico Colantoni is 51 years old. Veronica Mars' dad. We'll see him again in that feature film version of that very popular TV show. Zach Galligan is 50 years old. Simon Pegg. We love Simon Pegg. 44 years old. Rob Thomas of Matchbox 20 is 42. Freddie Highmore. You know, Bates Motel's coming back.
Oh, when's that?
March, I want to say. Hmm. The spring? Ah, I love that first season.
Show.
I thought that was terrific. I'm looking forward to more of it. He plays... he's the star, of course, of that show, 22 years old. And our buddy, comedian Jim Jeffries, celebrates his 37th birthday today. Happy birthday, Jim. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You're about 1 hour away from getting on the standby boarding list for KROQ's World Tour 2014, destination number two. This time it's Lollapalooza in Sao Paulo, Brazil, to see Vampire Weekend and all the other great bands on the bill. 9:10 this morning, we'll get you on that standby boarding list. You can get all the details at KROQ.com.
Let's talk about getting locked in places. This doesn't happen very often, I don't think, in real life. You get locked out a lot.
Yeah, it's true.
Right? You lock yourself out of your hotel room. I lock myself out of my house.
Naked.
Right?
That's always part of naked.
It. But getting locked out is one thing. Getting locked in is something completely different.
That's a whole different kind of panic, too,
I would think
depending
so, yeah.
on where
it is. There have been, just by coincidence, several different stories in the news recently that have all involved people getting locked in or stuck on something. The most recent one that everybody has seen by now is Johnny Quinn, who is on the U.S. bobsled team. He has been locked in two different places since he's been in Sochi for the Olympics. He posted a photo that is just amazing where he, you know, we've heard all these problems about these Russian hotel rooms. Apparently the handle came off the bathroom door and he could not open the bathroom door and he was stuck in the bathroom.
Locked in, couldn't get the door open no matter what he tried.
So he had no phone. And by the way, who goes to the bathroom without a phone? You know what I mean?
I don't know.
I don't even understand that question.
Who goes to the bathroom without taking their phone with them these days?
Me,
come on,
all the
Lisa.
Time. What?
Well, the
if
next
you're
time
on
the you
road, I would guess you would keep your phone with you at all times. I would guess.
The next time, Lisa, you get stuck in the bathroom, you're going to wish you had a phone so you could call to get somebody to come rescue you. And unfortunately, Johnny Quinn didn't have that, so he, like the Kool-Aid man, had to smash through the wall, basically. He chose the door. He actually went through the door and broke it open to get out of the bathroom. And then 2 days later, he's in an elevator that gets stuck. And now he's stuck in an elevator and can't get out. Does have his phone that time and is able to call for help.
He needs to go home.
Then we had the story that we did on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, we're going to be wanting to take your calls if you've ever been locked in or stuck inside someplace and were not able to get out. We want to hear the stories of how it happened to you at 1-800-520-1067. Then we had the story from a couple of weeks ago that we were talking about that guy who was on an airline flight. Remember? He fell asleep on the flight. The plane landed. Somehow the cleaning crew got in there or didn't and didn't see the guy. And he woke up and the plane was completely empty and dark and locked and he couldn't get out.
That would be the weirdest thing
ever.
That
would be so surreal.
Oh my God.
He was able to, he did have his cell phone with him and he was able to call
Lisa.
And he called his girlfriend and his girlfriend called the airport and they sent somebody around to open up the plane and let him out. And then, Lisa, you saw a story that's just in the news this week about a woman who got stuck in a well.
Yeah, she's an Oregon woman, and she disappeared 6 days ago.
Okay.
And they finally found her yesterday. She had gone hiking up Mount David, which apparently she did all the time, but she got stuck in a pit. She fell into this pit and couldn't climb out and was in there for 6 days. And they truly expected to find her dead, but she'd been able to collect some rainwater in a plastic thing that she had. So
she gnawed on her own thigh.
Yeah, pretty much. But they did find
for
her
sustenance.
But, I mean, you could easily have died.
Do you guys remember
situation.
A cat who comes out after us? She went to Prince's house. I just remember this being the weirdest story because somehow
story.
She ended up at Prince's house.
Uh-huh.
Prince, the singer.
Well, things like that happened to her.
Right. And she got locked in his restroom.
Really?
Like she couldn't get out of Prince's restroom in Prince's house. I'm not sure how that happens.
I bet it's awfully purple in there.
I bet it is.
I bet it is. So what have you been locked inside of? That's the topic at 1-800-520-1067. I don't think we've ever addressed this one before.
Nope.
But lots of people have been locked into lots of things, according to what I'm seeing so far. And why don't we start with Richard? He's on line one. He's going to get us going. He's talking about being locked in a place we haven't even mentioned yet.
Hey, Richard.
Hey, I actually got locked in my own car once.
Locked in your car?
Now, how does that happen?
I had an 85 Eldorado. Everything was electronic, and I must have blew a fuse or something on it. Me and my buddy got in the car. We closed the door, and the power went out. As soon as we hit the latches must have came unhooked. We were actually locked in my car in the front house at night.
Sweet. How long?
We had to chase. It was probably only about like 15, 20 minutes, but the embarrassing thing was the people were passing by, and we were trying to like wave them down to open the door. My neighbor actually came up to the door,
waved at us and walked by.
Yeah, I would have kept walking.
Well, look, if you see two guys in a car right. at night, you don't want to come knocking in case the car is rocking, right? We all know that.
Right.
So eventually were you able to get somebody's attention to open up the door for you?
Eventually, it took a lot of, like, ridiculous hand motions, but one of my neighbors actually came up and opened the door for us, and then we kind of had to explain the situation.
Sweet.
But, not one of my proudest moments.
I love it.
That's hilarious. Thank you, Richard. Well, it wasn't your fault. It's not like you did anything wrong. It just was a malfunction, but thank you for the call. We appreciate that. Let's go to Sierra real quick. She's on line three. So we've talked about an elevator. We've talked about a bathroom. We've talked about a well. We've talked about an airplane. We've talked about a car. Sierra, what did you get locked inside of?
Morning, guys. Morning, Lisa Mann.
Good morning.
Well, I went to a convention center, a boat show, and I wanted to check out the room inside the houseboat, and I locked the door behind me, and it wouldn't open back up after that.
So you got locked,
locked inside a boat, inside a conference room.
A convention hall.
A convention hall. For how long?
I was in there for about over an hour. My parents, I was known for running off and getting lost at places, so, they finally started looking for me. I was pounding on the door. It was really loud in the convention center. And finally, they got the security to get tools, and they actually had to remove the entire door.
Wow. Unbelievable. And what was going through your mind during that hour that you were in there? That were you thinking worst case scenarios that everybody just goes home for the day and you're just stuck in there overnight?
I was a little bit, but I was more worried about how much trouble I was going to get into because I always did these kind of things.
Yeah, you strike me as that kind of person, Sierra.
Exactly. All right, my dear. Thank you for the call. Happy Valentine's Day. 1-800-520-1067. What were you stuck or locked inside of? We'll take your calls next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Oh, man, are we getting some great stories from people who have been locked inside of things. Listen to this. Daniel writes in, at my old apartment in my college years, the elevator always broke. I got stuck in there more than 3 times. I got locked in there so much that I knew how to open it from the inside. Once the inside door opens, but the elevator was halfway level with the outer floor, you open the door and then crawl out. I was nervous every single time that it was going to start up and cut me in half.
No kidding.
Oh, wow.
Lori writes in, hi guys, love the show. When I was 5, my family moved into a house that had 2 sliding glass doors. My brother and I would play around and try to shut each other out in the space between the doors. One time we were able to fit both of us in there and shut the door, but we could not open it back up. They were stuck in between 2 glass doors.
Sweet.
The worst part was my mom came into the room and sat down and watched TV for 10 minutes before she even noticed we were in there. And here's the craziest thing about Lori's email. She signs it off with, keep beer mug, he's awesome.
Yes! Is that a first?
Yes, I think she must have had some sort of oxygen deprivation or something like that while she was stuck at the door, because clearly there's something wrong with her. All right, we got some great calls. Let's go to Chanel. You're going to love Chanel on line 5, Kevin, because her being locked in is like you're being locked out. It involved her being naked.
Oh, good. Hi, Chanel.
Hey.
You were naked?
I was.
You got locked in where?
My boyfriend's garage, and he lived with his parents.
Oh, no. Is his parents' house?
Yeah, who I've never met before.
Oh!
And we had just been dating a couple months, but I slept walk, and I opened their door from their house to their garage, and they had a home alarm. And I wake up to the alarm going off, so I go into the garage, and I hide because I'm scared, and I don't know what to do.
Right.
So it's dark in there. Well, somebody comes down, and they open the garage door. It's dark. They don't see anybody, so they shut it, and they lock it.
And you were in there for how long?
About 3 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
Where was your boyfriend? Asleep?
He was asleep. They had a garage phone, so I was calling him, but we had drank so much the night before he was passed out.
Sweet.
Oh, my gosh. This story has everything.
I'm freezing. It's like March, so I'm freezing cold in the garage. And I start crying. I'm stuck.
That's not how you want to die.
I was so cold. So, his parents hear me crying in the garage.
Yeah.
And both his mom and his dad come down and open the garage and find me butt naked. And that's
oh, my gosh. And I'm sure you were looking around the garage for anything, a blanket or something, a tarp, something you could wrap it.
Nothing.
Hi, nice to meet you. I'm your son's girlfriend.
Isn't it? It's weird that that's the first time you ever met them, but it's also weird that you would, staying in their house for the first time having not met them, that you would sleep naked. That's a surprising choice to me.
We drank a lot.
All right. Okay. All right. Great story, Chanel. You are a goer, and I love you. Thanks so much.
It's funny how we drank a lot pretty much explains anything.
You just go, that's all right.
Okay, good.
Let's go to Brandon. He's on line one. Wasn't his fault. Sounds like somebody else locked him inside another unusual location on line one. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, what's up, Kevin and Bean? Yeah, I was. I actually got locked in a bank safe vault room.
In a bank safe vault?
What? How did that happen?
Yeah, I do. I'm an electrician, and at nighttime, I had to actually install cameras in their own vault room. And so, a security guard had to watch over me. I guess he went outside to have a smoke. The door locked him out. I got locked in, and I had to wait there for like an hour till like the general manager for the bank actually got called and came in.
Sweet. Did they know you were in there though? Like,
yeah,
the security guard knew. Okay.
Oh, yeah, he knew I was in there, but I guess, literally, he went outside to have a smoke, and, yeah,
right.
I was locked
right.
in there. I didn't get any money, obviously.
I was going to be my next question, is if you were able to stuff any cash into your pants before you came out.
Exactly. No, it was actually locked, but, yeah, it was a tiny room, and, yeah, it was a nightmare.
Crazy. All right, thanks for the call. Hey, let's go to Erica. She's online, too. She got locked into a space, and this is the first story we've had, I think, of somebody who's locked in with another person. Let's find out about that.
Hi, Erica.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi.
Good, thank you. You were locked in where?
I used to work for a restaurant a long time ago. This was like when cell phones were first coming out, and I used to work with this really hot guy named Ron, and I was always flirting with him.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, one night, he just kind of started being receptive, and we decided to go into the dry storage room at the restaurant. And we were in there, you know, kind
sure.
of messing
right.
around a
uh-huh.
little bit.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, we just hear like this clicking noise, and the manager of the restaurant had locked us in there. He didn't know we were in there, so he locked us in, and he started closing up shop. He probably thought we left, and next thing we know, we couldn't get out. So
sweet.
We had one cell phone with us, and so at that time, we were trying to call everybody that we knew to come and break open the lock, because the lock was on a door like at the back of the restaurant
right.
on the outside. We couldn't find anybody that was willing to come and let us out, so ultimately we had to call the restaurant manager and let us out.
Did you get fired?
Not before you made a baby, right?
We didn't make a baby, but...
But you tried.
Well, I can't confirm that.
Yeah!
That's
fantastic!
All right, let's end with Emily. This one seems bad.
Okay, all right, go ahead.
What, you want to go somewhere else?
No, Emily's fine.
Okay, hi, Emily.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hi.
We are good.
Okay, so I work in a mortuary. I've been in this business for 7 years.
Ruh-roh. I don't like where this is headed.
It's not uncommon for, you know, the family to leave something in the casket, forget about it, and then remember at the graveside or remember at the church. And usually we don't open the casket up in front of guests and pull jewelry off or
right.
pull papers or pictures.
Right.
So it's not uncommon for a funeral director to crawl in the back of the coach, pop open the casket, grab what they need, and get out. So the family had wanted some jewelry, and I wasn't comfortable opening the casket up in front of the church. So I said, don't worry about it. I'll get it at the graveside. I'll just go in the vehicle and grab it. So I go in the back of the hearse, and I pop open the door, and I open the casket. I'm taking the rings off, totally normal, and the door closes behind me. I'm still not even thinking, I don't care, I'll just open it back up. So
sweet.
I close the casket, I go to open the door. I had no idea that they lock as soon as they close.
Okay, so now the door's locked and you're in there with?
An old man.
An old dead man.
So you're locked in the back of the hearse, but you only have to stay in there as long as it takes to get to the burial, right?
Well, we're at the gravesite already, and of course, my luck, we're at the only cemetery. It's a national cemetery, and you only get 15 minutes. So here I'm stuck in the back of the coach taking up precious time that this family has to do their final service.
Oh.
So I'm waiting in there. I'm like, you know what? It's cool. I have the keys. I go in my pocket to grab the keys. Of course, they're in the front seat that I'm locked off through a piece of glass. I
right.
can't get to them.
So you can't get anywhere.
I'm just kind of sitting back there. A couple minutes go by. I kind of start to panic. I know someone's going to come up because the whole family's behind me. So about 5 minutes comes by, and this guy walks up kind of pissed and looks at me like, what the hell are you doing? And I had to shout through the glass that I'm locked in. Please open the door. And,
oh
you know,
gosh.
He opened the door and I got out, but it was really embarrassing.
To have sweet. To explain that you wanted some private time with Grandpa to say goodbye, that must have been very awkward for you.
No, that wasn't it. But, yeah, now Now, anytime I go in the back of the coach, I make sure I either put like my shoe in the door, or I'll tell somebody, if you don't see me in a minute, come open the door because it locks from the inside out.
Gotcha. Yep. That has got, what a story. Thank you for sharing that with us, Emily. We appreciate it. I mean, that is, look, all these stories we've talked about, nobody wants to go through. But imagine being locked in the back of a hearse with a corpse. That's not ideal, right?
I think I'm not choosing that.
Right. So, Jamzilla, it's not a porn movie, right?
Jamzilla.
No,
it sounds
not.
Like it should be, but it's a thing, Lisa. Now, what's going on? Because, we've heard so many things about the 405 being closed, and they all have different wacky names. Are they all the same thing, just means lanes are going to be reduced?
I have some news coverage if you'd like it. I think yes. They explain it in a lot of detail.
Commuters can look forward to an 80-hour closure of freeway lanes this President's Day weekend. The wrath of the dreaded Jamzilla is descending upon Angelenos and will affect a 6-mile stretch of the 405 freeway.
The wrath.
Oh, no. From 10 p.m. Friday to 6 a.m. Tuesday. Most lanes on the northbound side of the freeway will be closed through the Sepulveda Pass. The Times reports that final preparations were underway early this morning as workers plan to pave and restripe the highway where a carpool lane is being added. Officials are urging drivers to steer clear of traveling north through West Los Angeles and the Sepulveda Pass during the closures. Just 2 northbound lanes between Getty Center Drive and Ventura Boulevard will remain open during the day.
I got to tell you, they're pretty good at coming up with names.
Every time they got a new one.
I mean,
yeah.
Jamzilla,
that's not bad.
That's pretty strong. It sounds like it's a lot worse than that. Doesn't it?
Well, I think it will be pretty bad if people don't stay away.
In the middle of the night.
It's completely closed in the middle of the
night.
So
Jamzilla.
Well, I don't know why we're even speculating when we have the guy who can tell us everything we need to know about Jamzilla on the phone. Isn't our friend Doug Kriegel covering it for Channel 4?
Hey, Doug.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We are good. Where are you, sir?
I'm here on the North 405 between Getty Center and Ventura Boulevard.
Between Getty Center and
Ventura Boulevard.
Ventura Boulevard. Okay.
Ventura Boulevard.
Ventura Boulevard.
Okay. All right.
Now, Doug, so far they haven't closed anything. It's business as usual on a Friday, right?
Yes, they're just preparing. It's the countdown to Jamzilla, if you will. Mm-hmm. And they're preparing not only to close the freeway northbound on the 405 overnight during the long President's Day weekend,
right.
But during the day, there will only be 2 lanes available for traffic. For
traffic going north?
Traffic going north, yes.
Was that north, Doug? I'm sorry, we missed.
North going north.
North, okay. Yes. We've been talking to you for many years as a KNBC reporter, and then you were in retirement briefly, and then you came back out. You just love being where the action is, Doug. That's your whole thing.
Well,
right?
I go where I'm needed, Bean. That's the thing. And, of course, Carmageddon.
Carmageddon, right.
It was a horrible, horrible, disastrous.
Turned out to be not much of anything.
Horrible, disastrous, just a nightmare. Thousands dead.
That didn't happen at all.
Hundreds of millions of dollars in property damage.
People said it was the best driving on the 405 since it was built. It was so clean and stress-free.
Jamzilla is going to be just as horrible and horrific as Carmageddon was. I don't believe
we're on the same page with Carmageddon, though.
I'm just as frightened as you are,
okay,
Kevin. Absolutely.
Right.
We're terrified of the horrible, horrible conditions that will be on the North 405, especially between Getty Center and Ventura.
All right, we lost that last part, Doug. But it sounds like what you're doing is like the news does. You're just hyping things up to unimaginable terror, when in reality, it's just going to be, hey, be aware that some lanes are going to be closed during the day.
Well, I have to beg to differ because I am here on the roadside of the North 405.
It sounds like traffic is moving just fine right now.
Traffic is just zooming
by. Okay.
But it's because we're in the countdown to Jamzilla. Jamzilla hasn't officially struck yet, but any moment we're expecting Jamzilla to wreak havoc and
terror. I think it's like midnight, though. Is it like midnight is when it starts or something? It's not going to be any moment now or during.
Any second now, we think Jamzilla will kick into high gear. You'll wish you were dead, frankly.
The dead
will be the lucky when it's all over.
They're just closing
Jamzilla.
A freeway. There's not anyone dying.
No, I'm pretty sure there's going to be death and a lot of just. Oh, my God.
What?
Oh.
What?
It's Jamzilla! Jamzilla! Ow, Jamzilla!
No!
Jamzilla, run!
Doug!
Jamzilla!
Jesus, it was right! Just a second ago! I have no idea!
Jamzilla!
Doug! When did Doug become Japanese? 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
Ronda Rousey in the next room will be joining us right after 9 o'clock this morning. What?
She's also
what?
Sleeping. What? Oh, she's sleeping?
She's sleeping in the other room. Yes.
Oh, is this a big week for her? Tough week?
Who has?
She's napping. Who has to wake her up? I don't want to be the one to wake her
Muggs,
up.
Muggs, obviously.
Sucker.
Muggs, go in there and poke her with a stick.
What kind of stick?
Oh,
dear
what?
God.
Why did you have? That's not what I meant
don't
at all.
Be creepy.
Wow. Hey, so that's happening. Right now, though, Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Friday. What's going on?
Well, congratulations to our buddy Joel McHale. It's just been announced that he will be the host slash headliner of the White House Correspondents' Dinner. This is a big deal. Every year, the White House invites all of the press that covers the White House all year long to a big bash, and they dress up, and they eat fine foods and drink fine wines, and they just spend all of our money, which is good. It's a big deal for a comedian to be the host. Jimmy Kimmel did it successfully. Was it last year he did it? Or year
I think it was last year, and he was great.
He crushed it. Crushed it.
Yeah, great.
Bill Maher's done it. Leno's done it. Almost every big-name comedian's done it. Now Joel McHale got tapped, which is quite an honor.
It's pretty cool.
And we're happy for him. This is the 100th anniversary of the White House Correspondents' Dinner. It's hard to believe. 100 years. They've been spending our money.
Yep.
Eating food, drinking wine, making jokes. So this Congress, that sure can't do anything, right?
How about that?
We got nothing done this year. Let's all rib each other, Democrats and Republicans alike. Let's celebrate our complete ineptitude.
And what about the health care, huh?
Hey, that's not getting any better.
Right.
Oh, got a lot of poverty.
Woo, what about their website?
Hey, how about those unemployed, huh? They're crazy.
President Obama might not even be born in America. Can you believe it?
That's probably true. All right, Joe McHale, everybody. Let's it's a nightmare. They're all patting each other in the back and having a good time. You got problems. You sit there in a suit eating sushi like a monkey.
How does a monkey eat sushi?
Very sloppily. Mm. It is Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. I hope you went on out and got your Necco hearts. Did you get your Necco hearts?
No.
No.
Come on.
Is that candy?
Got to get the Necco hearts.
The hearts with
those
the letters
the
on them?
Those heart-shaped candies, yeah. Delicious hard candies that have the messages on them. It's a Valentine's Day staple.
I like those. Tasty. That's the end
you,
of my input. Back to you.
You're 8 years old. The original list of sayings on the hearts included be mine, be good, be true, kiss me, and sweet talk. Then they upped it. They upped it. They've changed it considerably. Fax me was a very popular one in the 90s. email me, they've added. Tweet me, they added last year. Bite me was also added. I don't know how that gets romantic at all.
F me, F me, F me.
F me, F
me, F me.
F me didn't make the list this year, Lisa. Sorry.
I'd be happy to come in through the back door.
Does that say it?
Yes. Yeah. Be happy to come through the back door is one of them. It's a larger heart than the average. But there are some of them being retired from the mix this year.
Lube it up.
Lube it up is gone.
Take a deep breath.
Take a deep
relax your throat. And open your
and
mouth
open your wider. Mouth wider is also being retired this
That's
year.
Been retired? That's
yeah.
a bummer.
Yeah. Hey, babe, jump for me, adore me, and high five. You won't find those hearts anymore. Those are not collector's items if you have one of the high five hearts. How romantic.
Hey, high five.
High five me. It's Valentine's Day.
Hey, happy Valentine's Day. How about a high five?
Woo, how about a chest bump? Madness. Madness.
Cleveland. Steamer.
Cleveland Steamer, not also.
Rusty. Bad. Trombone.
Rusty Trombone is forever.
It is the day of love, so I did want to bring up that for your significant other, if you're still looking for a gift, the last-minute shopping, Farrah Abraham's porn movie, Farrah 2, Backdoor and More, is now available.
Yay!
I'd like to ask what the more is.
That's what I thought when she did the first one. I said, yeah. You don't go full backdoor in the first movie. What are you going to do in the sequel? Apparently, the sequel involves three different sex slings.
Slings.
Now, did she go in to film another one, or is this just leftover footage from the first film?
This is, apparently, they overshot the first film.
Mm.
And this is additional footage with James Dean that they had that they hadn't even released yet. So it's brand new. It's nothing repeated, but it is footage from the same session, apparently.
I see.
Farrah was very upset, very upset. She said she never gave anyone permission to do a second film. It ruined her life. This X-rated work has ruined her life.
She didn't try that again.
Yes, she's furious, and she had no idea they were going to release a second film. Sadly for her, there are these things called facts that exist.
Mm.
And there has been the contract has been released online. You can see easily where she has signed the portion where it says we can release multiple films with the footage that we're shooting. She also said that she plans to become a born-again virgin.
Well, isn't it too... Well, I guess born again, that addresses that. So she's not a virgin now, but she plans to be a virgin from now on?
She's decided she's going to stay celibate until marriage.
Yep, that'll happen.
Okay. A lot of people try that.
Yes.
Yes, they do.
Here's the thing, Farrah. If you had followed that track, you never would have been famous in the first place.
That's right. True.
I would have known
a lot of people try to lose weight, too.
The teen mom.
Hey, I have a question for you, Ralph.
Oh, my God.
It's Valentine's Day related, mm-hmm. but I think you're the right person to ask this question.
All right.
Listener Jose writes in, my wife just gave me a Valentine's card.
Yes.
I read it. I said, thank you. But mm-hmm. now what do I do with it? Is it okay to throw it in the trash? If not, how long am I required to keep it?
No, you don't throw it in the trash.
You throw it away.
It's the 1 week rule. You have to open it up and you put it up on your mantle or on your coffee table or whatever. And you let it sit there for a week. Then after a week, you say, I'm going to put this into my drawer, honey, in my office. I'm going to slide this in the drawer, in my keepsake drawer. And I really appreciate it. And then you throw it out.
All right, so you're not required to hang on to it for life, but you can't throw it away the day you get it.
No.
So a week is the ruling on
this. I'd like to suggest that
be on display for a week.
That before 9 a.m. he came up with that question. Before 9 o'clock in the morning.
He's in a rush.
Maybe he's a neat freak. Maybe he just doesn't like having any kind of additional paperwork around.
Dude, let it breathe for a couple hours.
It served its purpose. It's got to go.
It's trash.
What's happening?
All right, so that's good. That's helpful advice for all of our listeners. That is 1 week.
One week on display, and then you lie by saying you're going to keep it forever, and then you can throw it out at your leisure.
Boom. Done.
Right? Done.
But not in a trash can. She'll find it.
Of course not.
Oh, no, of course not.
You have to sneak it
out. That goes unsaid.
That's why I had a bot shredder. That's why I had Kevin Bischoff bot shredder for me.
Boy, does Kevin love to shred, man.
He has shredded well over two pieces of paper since he forced Dave the King of Mexico to buy a shredder for our office.
I feel like
that takes up about 8 feet of room in the corner there.
I feel like we're off topic.
I feel like you're off topic.
It does look like a shredder from the 60s, like it's the size of a computer for some reason. I don't know why
it has shredder. It's a Univac brand shredder. Why he thought we needed a shredder, no one knows. Why Dave listened to him and got one, no one knows.
We don't have any
sensitive
material
in the office. Exactly. Nothing needs to be destroyed, but there's a shredder now that Kevin has used twice. Only when we say, Kevin, you never use that shredder. Then he'll purposely go over and put a piece of paper in the shredder to show he's using it.
Kevin, what is it you have that's so important that you think the collapse of the country if it gets in the wrong hands?
What was the motivation behind the shredder? Do you remember?
I'm sure it was...
It can't be something about this show. I mean, nobody's going to try to copy this show.
No, I'm sure it was important. It wasn't important.
I'm positive it was something very important.
You know what my favorite part of the shredder is? Every day when I see Kevin get up and cross the room and throw his papers in the trash can. That's my favorite part of the shredder. when he walks past the shredder to get to the trash can.
Okay, explain to me exactly what I did wrong.
You forced us to buy a shredder.
I feel like we're off topic.
I feel like we're just finally getting on topic. You know what I got for the office? A coffee machine.
You did. That was more helpful.
I got a Keurig.
That was more helpful.
That is used every day.
Right. I'd say mine falls
short of the Keurig
short
coffee maker.
Of the coffee maker.
I would agree. But good shredding on you.
What a good.
So if you
what
have
a
any,
good purchase,
any Valentine's you need to get rid of, go to Kevin and he'll shred them for you. Today's celebrity birthdays. Comedian Jim Jefferies is 37 years old today. Happy birthday, Jim. Actor Freddie Highmore. Who I guess first impressed me in a movie called Neverland. Do you remember that with Johnny Depp?
Yes, he was great.
Brilliant performance in that film. Little Freddie Highmore. Now he's Norman Bates on The Bates Motel. He's 22 years old today. Rob Thomas, Matchbox 20, is 42. Simon Pegg, another one of our favorite actors, is 44. Zach Galligan from Gremlins, 50 years old. Enrico Colantoni celebrates his 51st birthday. He's the dad of Veronica Mars on that popular series. Meg Tilly is 54. Former radio host Pat O'Brien is 66 years old. Teller of Penn Teller is 66. And Florence Henderson, Mrs. Brady, she's 80. She's a Brady 80. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
You ready? You ready? Let's fight.
Everything you need in a fighter, she has.
It's over. Rousey has done it.
Yet she's a woman and she's beautiful.
Ronda Rousey.
Rousey package is different than any other package we've ever seen.
Everyone who fights Rousey knows what's coming. No one has been able to defend it.
She's mean, she's nasty, and she's dangerous.
Ronda Rousey extending the arm!
My mom was the first American to ever win the world championships in judo, and she really made me into who I am today. She really made me a fighter in every sense of the word.
It's all over! Once again, first round armbar finish for the champion, Ronda Rousey!
I am a little uncomfortable talking about Ronda's package, but okay, if that's where we're at, if that's the way this interview is going to go. Ladies and gentlemen, she is back on the Kevin Bean Show. We could not be more delighted to welcome the UFC Women's Bantamweight Champion, Rowdy Ronda Rousey, here on the Kevin Bean Show.
How are you,
my dear?
I'm good.
The last time we had you in was just before you coached in The Ultimate Fighter.
Oh, yeah.
And you said on your way out, this is not going to be good for me. Or something to that. Like, people aren't going to like me or something like that. It's based on the show.
It's good, though. It was good for all the girls that were on the show. You know, it was good to have everyone have a way to get to know them. And so, like, the division, like, I don't want to be the only one that everyone knows in the division. And when I do eventually leave someday, I really don't want people to miss me that much. You know, because
most people think the opposite.
Well, no, it can't be like that. It can't be like, oh, when I leave, people are like, oh, well, Ronda's gone. I'm not going to watch the girls' fights anymore. Right. I mean, I need it to be more like Mike Tyson. And, for like, you know, the boxing world is pretty much like good riddance when he left. And now everyone appreciates what he really done and treats him like the legend that he is, you know. And if I leave and everyone's like, well, screw that women's fighting thing. I mean, that's terrible. You know, I don't want it
to
be like that.
I think that's a legitimate concern. But, I mean, your impact has been so great that there are lots of women coming up behind you who want to be the next Ronda Rousey. So I don't think you have to. I think your place is secure, and I think the sport is going to be fine with women, thanks to you and, you know, other trailblazers like you.
Oh, thanks. I'm just saying that it's good for the fans to not be just so enamored with me all the time, and when I'm gone, to kind of be like, oh, thank God, I can't wait to see who the next champ is.
I think it's safe to say that they're not fully enamored with you. After the last fight, you were talking to Joe Rogan, and she tried to shake your hand. You wouldn't do it. Everybody started booing. What does that feel like?
Well, it kind of felt like the first 10 years of my athletic career.
It's the same?
Yeah, when I'm the American and, you know, and in every other country, and I am just booed. I've been booed in every language, pretty much.
Well, come on now.
And it sounds the same. I know. Boo is boo. It's just always boo. It's the only, I don't know why.
It's a universal word.
It's the universal word for we don't like you. And that's
now, why don't you want to shake the hand of somebody just in the name of sportsmanship that you've just beaten?
Look, I commended her for her sport and everything she did as a sportswoman and everything, but as a person, I think she's just a terrible human being, and until she really apologizes to the people close to me that she's wrong, then she doesn't deserve a handshake from me. My handshake means something. I don't just give it out like Skittles.
So she wasn't just talking about you. She was talking about your family, and that made you mad, and she's not going to take it back. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, you got to apologize first, man. You can't just be like, oh, that didn't happen. Da-da-da. Like, no. No, it still means something. Sorry.
Now, most of us, I know if I'm standing there and everybody's booing me, I think, what did I did something wrong. You didn't feel like that at all.
Well, I think that her actions at the time were entirely determined by people watching her. If we were fighting alone in a gym somewhere, like, you know, like Rocky and Apollo did, you know, they did it by themselves, right, she never would have offered me a handshake. Whereas my actions were entirely despite being watched. I'm like, I don't care if the whole world is watching me. You don't deserve my handshake, and I'm not going to do it and be fake about it.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Does.
I'm a sense maker, man.
Let me go back to what Kevin asked about the last time you were in here when you were like, this is not going to be good for me, for people to see me week to week on The Ultimate Fighter. How did you feel? What was the reaction like from people who got to know you a little bit more as a person over the weeks of that program? Did you get a lot of reaction?
They didn't get to know me at all. You don't know me. It's a TV show. You don't know anything. You know, like, it's from interviews and reality television. You don't get to know anyone at all. You get to see what you're shown.
How different
are you? Are you totally different away from the sport than we would imagine?
I mean, I don't have the energy to be like this all the time. I'm from Venice Beach, man. Like,
that's a pretty laid back existence.
Yeah. I'm pretty docile at home, man. I got people trying to kill me all day long. I just sit on the couch and I'm like, I'm the biggest cuddly person ever.
What do you watch on TV when you sit down?
Well, it's funny. I was watching only like documentaries and stuff like that before. And when I was in camp, it was like, you know, it's, you kind of have rough days. And so you kind of need some brain junk food at the end of the day. And I started, we all started watching Big Bang Theory. And we watched every single episode of it. And then
we binge watched.
Yeah, we were out of shows. And then I was like, well, let's find a new show to watch at the end of the day. And everything was just so stressful. I mean, like Walking Dead, Breaking Bad. I'm like, okay, I already felt like I was about to die all day. Okay, I don't need any more of this. And so then suddenly I was like, out of nowhere, like, I've never seen Entourage. I'm like, that's, everyone's been talking about the show for years. Let's start watching it. And so we started watching it. It's the only show I was watching. And we're like into the third season. And then suddenly got like the offer to do the Entourage movie. And I'm like, what?
Wait, that was just a coincidence?
Yeah. I like, we totally manifested it.
That's weird.
Out of nowhere. I was like, wow, it was totally meant to be. Wow.
How many episodes into Entourage did you get before you realized that the plot for every week is exactly the same?
Actually, I don't think it's the same. I don't think so.
Really?
No.
Vince is always worried
about the complaint every week.
Vince is always worried about the movie that he's making is going to be too mainstream, and Turtle's always, you know, worried about women problems, and or Eric is always having problems with his ex-girlfriend, and I mean, it just seems like every single week it's the same thing. But Jeremy Piven makes that whole show worthwhile. So what are you going to be playing in the movie?
I don't know if I can tell you that. So you just got to.
Oh,
watch.
Sure you can. No one's listening.
Wait,
for God's sake.
When does the movie come out?
I don't know. I know it starts. I film in the middle of March.
Oh, so it's a long ways off. No one will remember.
you guys are good, but you're not that good.
You are really setting yourself up for quite the movie career. I mean, is that going to be your plan? Is to be an actress after you're done with UFC?
I don't know, but I'd like to have options. I mean, after the Olympics, I didn't set any options up for myself, and then I realized that I had an Olympic medal, no work experience, no education, and I was like, what am I going to do?
Now you retired, right? Or after the Olympics, or no?
The 2008 Olympics, I retired, and I was. You know, a bartender. I mean, a lot of good the Olympics did me. I mean, I got one job as a cocktail waitress at the Cork on Crenshaw and Adams because I could fight. That was pretty much the only time. Olympic medal helped me out with a job.
So then you thought, I'm going to get back into fighting.
Yeah, so and now that I've learned that lesson that I'm in fighting, I mean, it's a well-known fact that you have a short shelf life in MMA, and it would be dumb for me to neglect not looking to give myself as many options as possible for
because you got another 60 years to live or something when you're done. So that's why Expendables and Fast and Furious and Entourage, I mean, that's all gravy at this point, right?
It's not gravy, but I mean, you know, it's cool. I don't know,
it's way cool, Rhonda.
It's really cool.
It's way cool.
It's pretty cool.
I know, but I try not to focus on it at all, really. It's like I have this chick to fight on the 22nd, and it's
that's
just
a
like
week from a week from Saturday.
Yeah, and like there is no Hollywood stuff unless I am winning these fights, and so everything is dependent on this. And I really try not to focus on it at all. Like I'm really not even like allowed to talk about it that much. Like if I mention movies in the gym or like anything like that, like ooh, I'm in trouble.
You get your pee-pee smacked.
I don't know.
That's an expression, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting Rhonda has a pee-pee. I'm just saying it's an expression. Somebody yells at you.
Being a lot, and that's why he's all left up.
All right. Let us, allow us, if you would, to just take a very, very quick break and come right back with Rhonda Rousey in studio here on the Kevin Beach Show, because we have many questions we want to ask you about the upcoming weekend. A week from tomorrow night, Mandalay Bay Event Center in Las Vegas, airing on pay-per-view starting at 7 o'clock. It's UFC 170, and your fight is the co-headlining fight. And there's been
my fight's the main event, man.
Your fight is the main event, is what I meant to say.
That's what he meant.
And we'll talk about that. We had Sarah in here not long ago, by the way. She seems like a very nice lady. I'm going to feel bad if you knock her head off.
Yeah, I call her Saint McMahon. She's very sweet, but she is also trying to take away everything that I've worked for my entire life. So I really am not feeling that bad.
Well, when you put it that way, now I'm rooting for you. We'll take a break. Come back more with Rhonda after this on K-Rock. UFC Women's Bantamweight Champion Rowdy Rhonda Rousey in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You can see her live and in person a week from Saturday night. That's going to be at the Mandalay Bay Events Center in Las Vegas. Tickets available now through Ticketmaster.com and MGMGrand.com. So, how much animosity is there between you and Sarah McMahon? Is it just a professional thing, or is she someone like some other people we've discussed that maybe you personally dislike as well?
I've never had a personal problem with anyone that I've fought before except for one person. I mean, we were actually teammates on the 2004 Olympics, and I call her Saint McMahon for a reason. You know, she's just like the biggest sweetheart ever. And, you know, my first UFC fight against Liz Carmouche, I mean, I love that girl. It's just like it's nothing personal when you fight. I'm entirely emotionless when I fight, regardless if I like you or not.
What do you think, what do you see as her biggest skills? Like, what are you most concerned about, if anything?
I think that she's just a really high level athlete. She's an Olympian, you know, and, she's a great wrestler. And, that's really the most of what I see brought to the table. I mean, it's much different if you're fighting someone who casually came upon MMA as opposed to someone who has been, you know, training to be the best in the world for their whole lives and then switched over into MMA right, and applied those right. same skills there.
Yeah. Eight fights in a row, somebody has gotten into the octagon with you thinking that they had an answer for the armbar, and so far no one has. Is there a way to beat you, Rhonda?
I think it's actually 11 because I had three amateur fights. And there was no difference other than I didn't get paid, so I still count that.
And, all right, I apologize.
But for the sake of suspense, I'll say yes. But for the sake of reality, I'll say no.
Do you ever, I mean, this may be a stupid question because, you know, you mentally expect to win. You wouldn't get in there and couldn't get in there if you didn't think you were going to win. But, I mean, do you ever think about what it would feel like to lose? Because you just haven't experienced that.
Actually, I have experienced that. I've experienced it in the worst way. You know, like you played on that bumper. My mom was the first American to ever win the world championships in judo. And I finally made it to the finals, the world championships in 2007. And I lost in the finals. And I spent my entire life training to win the Olympics. And I went to two Olympics. And my second one, I lost in the quarterfinals and ended up having to fight back for bronze. And it feels like dying. And I'm so heartbroken. And there's no worse feeling in the world. And that's why I train harder than any of these other girls do, because it really is that important to me. It feels like I'm literally dying. So it is a life or death thing to me.
Wow.
Does she have this a lot of the same skill set that you have?
She's a very different style. You know, she's a wrestler, and I come from judo.
I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with the difference between judo and wrestling so much.
Well, judo is like wrestling with a jacket on. And so there's like a whole lot of different kinds of throws and things you could do in judo. And then also you have pins, just like wrestling, but we also have chokes and arm bars in judo.
Oh, okay.
And so I've been working on my submission game a whole lot longer than she has.
This is the voice of Rhonda Rousey here on the Kevin Bean Show. Again, the fight is going to be a week from Saturday night in Las Vegas. Go to Ticketmaster.com or MGMGrand.com. Kevin, as you will vouch, see it in person if you get the chance,
awesome.
Right? There's nothing like it. Do you have time? You're so busy this week with training. Are you able to watch any of the Winter Olympics, Rhonda, or do you have no interest in those?
I do have a great interest in the Olympics, but I haven't been able to watch really anything at all.
We keep hearing these stories about, especially that story that came out this week about how popular Tinder is at this year's games, the 2014 games, because all the athletes are young and hot and horny and all living next to each other. Can you tell me a little bit about what it's like to live in that Olympic village when you're an athlete?
Ooh, all right. Well, when we first get there, it's like everyone has been training their whole lives and it's so important. Oh, no, my God, you know, you're so focused. And then as every day goes on, there's more and more people that are done.
They finished
with their whole life of work is just over, and they're sitting in the village they don't have to pay anything. They eat for free. There's a lot of beer sponsors that open up clubs and stuff all over the place where you drink for free.
All right.
And there's all the most finely tuned athletic machine, you know, fit people in the whole world sitting around that suddenly have a lot of steam to blow off and nothing to do. Either they're super, super celebrating and drunk, or they're super, super depressed and drunk, and they're all looking for a whole month to kill. And so just look at the difference between the opening ceremonies and the closing ceremonies. Everyone's super proper and in their suit and have their whatever beret. gray or whatever retarded kind of outfit they have them wear, you know, strolling in, holding their little camera phones up, even though everyone's told not to have a camera. Everyone busts it out the second they walk in. And then watch the closing ceremonies where there's people wasted, having, you know, people on top of their shoulders stumbling around. I mean, they only have close-ups during the opening. During the closing, wide shots.
Long shots.
Yeah,
how
look
about
at the team,
that?
It's just like that. Yeah, and everyone's hammered at closing ceremonies. Yeah.
That's awesome. And you've got all these, like you mentioned, they're incredibly fit people, young people your age who you already have a lot in common with. And they're exotic. I mean, you have your pick of anyone around the world. You want that hot Argentine guy or that hot Brazilian girl or the German or whatever. They're all there for the picking.
Yeah, so there's just a lot of they promote condoms too, because I think that's how pandemic spread. You bring all these people from all the corners of the world, and you're like, hey, would you like that Panama strain of syphilis? Yeah, I got that for you.
Like, that's why they had to quarantine Bob Costas.
That's right,
because
he was spreading everything to everybody. I can't imagine. There's probably nothing like that kind of camaraderie that you have in an Olympic Village, I imagine. But do you have a lot of close friends in UFC? Is there any kind of equivalent at all to that?
Yeah, actually, I live with some of the girls that are in my division. They're some of my best friends, and we even talk about when we fight someday, what our fight posters will say, and you know what we will say in the interviews and try and mess with each other. And it's just like we have. If you think about it, the person you're in the cage with is who you have the most common with of anyone else in the world. You guys are fighting because the same thing is just as important to both of you. And so, I'm really close with other people that I fight against, or they're just fighters too, you know. And
what's your energy like in this week leading up to next week? It seems like to me, if I was in that position, I would just want it to be here so I could.
Yeah.
Get in the ring.
I'm totally like, especially since I started this camp in shape, you know. It wasn't like the last fight I came back from doing all these movies and stuff and I had to get into shape. Like, it totally was like, you know, the montage of like, every day you see a little improvement, you know, like, just like that. And this fight, I just started, I was like, I was already just in shape from the last one. And so I've been really impatient for this fight from the very beginning, which is because I pretty much came out of last fight unscathed. I didn't have a single bruise on me.
Right. So. Like, if you could have had that last fight a week, you know, after the last fight, if you could have fought this one a week later, you would have been happy, right?
I would have fought it that night, to be honest.
That's what you need is to start doing double headers.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I'd double it up in a night. I mean, in judo, I would fight seven times in a day, and I would weigh in that morning. You know, that's the format that I'm used to. And usually my first match was my worst one. And so, you know, I had 2.5 rounds pretty much down. That means I had, you know, 4.5 left in me.
Right.
So why not?
Two and a half is a long fight for you, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. The longest one yet.
Yeah. How about when it's in Las Vegas versus another location? Does that make any difference to you at all? Are you at all distracted by everything that city has to offer?
No, it actually makes it a lot easier because the hotel and the venue are in the same building. And so it's like I pretty much walk down from my hotel room into the venue and then a fight. And then I'll walk right back up. So it's like really not really any distractions at all, except for all the people that I run into, and, you know, like on the way down. But I mean, that's pretty much anywhere. It saves me a bus ride. So I
saves her a bus ride.
Yeah.
All right. What's the after party like?
My after party is buffalo wings and like either apple pie a la mode or brownie a la mode. I need some sort of dessert with conflicting temperatures. Yes. No, it has to be buffalo wings. Like,
okay.
It has to be. And I had such unsatisfactory buffalo wings after my last
fight.
Oh,
that hurts. Oh, that's sad to hear.
Someone took me to like a fancy restaurant and gave me some fancy buffalo wings. Like, no, I want some where the place is like, it's like a B-rated restaurant, you know.
Maybe C.
Yeah, exactly. I want something like that where it's like, I hope this hot sauce is hot enough to kill whatever it is might have fallen in it. That's the kind of buffalo wing I want. And so I'm going to find somewhere off the strip next time. That's what I'm doing.
I love this woman so much. I do too. UFC 170, Rousey versus McMahon. That is going to be Saturday night, 1 week from tomorrow night at the Mandalay Bay Event Center in Las Vegas. Get your tickets. go see it in person. Ticketmaster.com or MGMGrand.com. You're looking past this one at all? Do you have any idea what happens after this one for you, Rhonda?
Nope. My life does not exist after this fight. I could die on the 23rd, and I don't care.
Okay.
Well, we'd care. We don't want you to die on this.
Oh,
no, don't die.
That's cool. Sweet.
I know that we'll see you again soon, but you're filming the Entourage movie in March. You've got Expendables 3 coming out in August. You've got Fast and Furious 7. That's not coming out to the following year. And then hopefully lots of good stuff after that. Great to see you again, Rhonda. Thanks so much for the time. We really enjoyed it.
Nice to figuratively see you, too.
Jingle bells. Jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Fantagram, Fall in Love is the name of that. The world famous.
Oh, honey.
It's not that either.
Oh, sorry.
It's the world famous K-Rock at 941.
Hey, Ronda Rousey was fun, right?
She's a good time.
She's the best.
Sad to see her leave. But Ralph is here. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat on an entire week of the Kevin and Bean Show. After this, Ralph, then it's a 3-day holiday weekend.
I know.
So make it good. Send us out on a bang.
I'll be working. I'm working over the holiday. I'm a working man.
Not me.
I'm the 99%, brother. I'm not the one. Tell him, Beer Mug. Tell him how to feel about the 99% and the 1%. How's that go again, that saying you always say?
Don't be the 1%, man. Be the 99.
Yeah.
Peace.
Peace indeed.
Represent. Everyone, enjoy your long weekend. And while you're enjoying your Valentine's tonight with your loved one, with the one you care about the most.
Yes.
Keep in mind.
Yes.
Abraham's second porn movie is available.
Farrah Abraham's.
To watch. Two of you to cuddle up and watch Farrah 2, Backdoor and More. That's love right there. Watch her and James Dean share some real love. It's real love right there. Or they just paid them to hump. But either way, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Right?
Either way,
checked
yeah.
it out.
So funny.
Pretty amazing.
Farrah said she had no idea that they were going to make a second film, and how could porn has ruined my life, and it's horrible. She's even claiming now when she goes to these X-rated conventions and, you know, adult cons and things like that, she signs autographs.
Right.
She goes, oh, several times I've been drugged and taken advantage of. And
what?
You know, it's horrible. Oh, it's ruined my life.
How does she keep... What? That's what she claimed before the first one, and then they brought out proof that she had hired and whatever, she got paid and whatever.
Yeah. Now she says, I'm not a porn star, I'm a mother first, and an author.
Author?
Second. The TMZ today just ran some evidence they got of her harassing Vivid for her royalties. Where's my check? I don't do this for free, honey, okay? Smoking a big long cigarette, just curlers in her hair.
She's a blast.
She is a blast.
Yeah.
Nothing says love like Farrah 2, Backdoor, and More. Speaking of love, New York Daily News has compiled a list of the 100 most romantic love songs of all time.
Oh, that's timely.
Criteria was each song had to be in the top 20 during the year it was released and be at least 10 years old. So Kevin's going to love this list.
Excellent.
Top 10 most romantic love songs of all time. I Can't Stop Loving You, Ray Charles. Michelle by the Beatles. Are You Lonesome Tonight by Elvis Presley. The First Time I Ever Saw Your Face, Roberta Flack, was number 7. In My Life, the Beatles, number 6. In fact,
anything in the last 30 years?
In My Life by the Beatles was done during that Beatles special on CBS by, damn it, I knew midway I was going to not come up with this guy's name.
Welcome to my life.
He's very popular. Bean, you'll help me out with this. Very popular singer-songwriter from Britain right now. Very hot. Ginger Kids. Got a beard. Amazing guitarist, singer.
Sheeran.
Oh, is he
yeah,
Ed Sheeran?
Ed Sheeran. That's it. Yeah. Did it on the Beatles special. Wow. That guy's got a voice. Did a great version of it. Just him
hey,
and the acoustic guitar.
Beatles invented us. Let's just put it that way.
Hold on. What happened, Rodney? The Beatles invented
and when
us?
The Beatles arrived in America,
right, yeah.
Really changed
our lives.
I mean, look, we grew hair when the Beatles
grew
were on
hair?
Television.
We were bald.
We started bands.
Right.
Wait.
Started dressing cooler.
Right.
Uh-huh.
We were a bunch of
but
poorly
before
dressed,
all that happened,
bald,
was news about
non-musical
the Beatles.
People.
Was John F. Kennedy was right. Really put everybody in a sad position.
Yeah, we did.
He did put us
and
in a
the
sad
Beatles
position.
Arrived.
Yes. Right. Sort of changed everybody's lives.
Right.
And then,
basically, right.
I want. Hey, how about the Beatles? Right.
Hey, how about them?
Well, they're number six on the list, as I mentioned, Rodney, within my life. You are so beautiful, Joe Cocker.
You are so beautiful.
If you have a chance to watch him sing, he does.
It's like a grand mal seizure, is what it is.
The best. He's being electrocuted.
No one is more entertaining to watch live than Joe Cocker.
Yeah.
He looks like.
That's Ralph.
I can't say that. Oh, no! Come on! Number what? Four. This is unacceptable. Stevie Wonder's I Just Called to Say I Love You.
Oh, no!
That song
That's
is horrible.
Nonsense.
It's a nightmare song.
That's terrible.
It's terrible.
Wonderful Tonight by Eric Clapton. That's a great song.
Very romantic, yes.
What? Kevin said that's a great
me.
Song.
That's a great song from 1978 that you like?
Kevin, you can't like that,
that
song.
That is a good song.
It's done by an artist who had hits in the 60s and 70s.
What?
You can't
just blows
enjoy
my
that.
Mind. That is a great song.
What? What? I'm not allowed. You guys yell at me for not liking old songs. I like it.
You can't just change who you are.
I'm not. I just like that song.
You can't just turn on a dime. Was it opposite week?
How dare you?
Keep in mind, we hear Kevin's reaction to this list, that he and his wife, their first dance was to Creep by Radiohead. That was their romantic song.
That was their
wedding.
Song, right?
That's still our song.
All right, well, sure. What could be romantic than calling each other creeps?
And effing weirdos.
I'll Be There. Jackson 5's I'll Be There was the number two. And the number one most romantic love song of all time, according to the New York Daily News.
It doesn't matter because I Just Called to Say I Love You is three.
My Girl, The Temptations. My Girl by The Temptations.
I've got sunshine.
Yeah.
I would have said I would have F you like an animal.
Sure, closer. Song. Nine Inch Nails, yeah.
That should have been on the list instead of Stevie Wonder.
That's what I'm saying. And Brad Pitt finally got one over on his old pal George Clooney. He's always busting his guillotine. He's there with the practical jokes and the gags. Brad Pitt finally got him back, according to In Touch magazine. Brad went to Lake Como, Italy, and put up flyers all over the city. Very official-looking statements saying that from now on, the residents of Lake Como must only refer to George by his character's name from the Ocean films, Danny Ocean, and never, ever look him in the eye if they see him in the streets.
Love it.
The local paper got wind of the story and went crazy, publishing all sorts of bad things about George Clooney and what a spoiled, rotten movie star he is. And now they call him in the press Il Divo.
Love it.
In Italian, meaning the male diva. For his behavior, and now George is an outcast. He's been ostracized by the people of Lake Como.
That's strong.
Well done, Brad Pitt. Well done.
But you know that George saw those or heard about it and just laughed and went, okay, all right, it's on.
Yeah. Did you watch the Monuments Men cast when they were on Jimmy Kimmel? Did you see that special?
I did not, no.
Did not.
Jimmy, you had an evening with just the entire cast of the Monuments Men. That was the only guest that night. It's very entertaining. They reran it as a primetime special after they aired it on his late night version. But it's spectacular. It's Bill Murray, Bob Balaban, George Clooney, Kate Blanchett, John Goodman.
Anyone we've heard of?
And then Matt Damon, they kept backstage all the time and wouldn't let him out on stage. But Jimmy told the story of how he and Clooney, when they first became friends, Jimmy helped him out with his penchant for practical jokes by buying him very elaborate, very beautifully designed stationery that had Brad Pitt on the top of it. And George says, I've been using that stationery for years now, sending out letters to people claiming to be Brad Pitt and getting him in all kinds of trouble. So Jimmy has been an accomplice in George Clooney's pranks for many years now.
That's awesome.
Entertained by that. Celebrity birthdays. Florence Henderson's 80 years old today. Tenor of Penn & Teller is 66. Pat O'Brien, also 66 years old.
Pat, who's coming to your party? You throwing a little bash tonight?
Yeah,
or what do you got planned?
A big party over there. Hartman will be there. Ask him. Yeah. He's coming.
Hartman, of course.
He's also unemployed.
Right.
And, you know, the usual suspects, all my gang. Costner will be coming by.
We'll play
little shirts and skins basketball with Costner, by the way.
Okay.
He's a pretty good jump shooter, by the way.
He is?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Meg Tilly will be there. She's 54 years old today. Everybody who has a birthday is coming to my house.
Really?
Oh, that's nice. You have a
Simon
party for
Pegg,
everybody?
Simon Pegg will stop by. He's 44. Rob Thomas of Matchbox 20. He'll be the entertainment for the party. He'll be
and that's
here.
Your favorite band of all time, Matchbox 20,
Matchbox
right, Pat?
20, yeah. 20, 21, whatever it takes. Freddie Highmore from
that Bates Motel program. He'll be there. He's 22 years old today.
Sure.
And comedian Jim Jeffries told me to F off, and he would not be. he is 37 years old today.
The show legit. I think it's coming back for it before the end of the month.
Yeah, I'm on it. I'm one of the stars
on
that show. I will.
You're
I'll be
not on
doing
show.
An arc on that show.
Nope.
I'm playing
that's not true.
Idi Amin.
What?
In a flashback.
That's awfully
flashback
random.
Sequence. Yeah. I'm trying to stretch.
I'd like to see that.
I'm trying to stretch as a performer.
It's a strange decision.
Thank you, Pat. Thanks for coming in. I'm Ralph Garman.
Bye, Pat.
I'm the Showbiz Beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you on Monday. We got Harvey Levin. We got, we got Doto.
Or Tuesday.
Tuesday, sorry. We got Doto.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Like a monkey.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You'll never land a ball with that domineering tone.
Roll another one.
Okay, you're getting off topic.
Just like the other one.
Not so much.
This one seems to be about to quit.
What's going on over here, Mom?
I need another hit.
Lisa May, your rack is amazing. And Beer Mug, it's astonishing how fat you are.
Roll another one.
I've just been nailed.
Just like the other one.
Old people are scary.
This one seems to be about dead.
Shut your face!
I don't have another sense.
F word, MF word, S word, G word, D word, GD word. Kiss my ass.
Just pass it around.
I'm gonna say no.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Hello, the ladies love me.
Just pass it on down.
Whoops, you know what that means. It means our time is just about up.
Oh, it's all over! They've taken off their hard hats and traipsed off.
Okay, yeah, thanks. I'm super glad I came here. That was great.
I started off hating it, and then as it got elevated, I was like, oh, this is really going to be funny. So in the end, I hated it again.
That went south so fast!
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Just let it go.
Super tired. Good night.